This is PFW in Progress.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is the distinct pleasure of the management to present to you the Evening Star Attraction. Here they are, back after their exclusive three-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent. Won't you welcome
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
Paul Perillo.
Got any fried chicken?
Best damn chicken in the state.
Bring me four fried chickens and a Coke.
You want chicken wings or chicken legs?
Four fried chickens and a Coke.
And some dry white toast, please.
And Andy. And Andy?
It wasn't my fault, honest. I ran out of gas. I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My tux didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car.
Andy Hart.
There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Locust. It wasn't my fault. I swear to God.
Some guy named Tom.
Are you the police?
No, ma'am. We're musicians. We're on a mission from God.
And you never know. Lori might stop by.
Well, now, what can I get you boys? You thirsty? You hungry? Or you just driving through? Maybe like a beer or something a little harder?
No, thank you, ma'am. We may be sucking back a few beers a little later on. We'll be here all night. You see, we're the band.
PFW in Progress.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it. Jerry Zolak, what's up, brother? That shuffle should be there by 12:30. Call Papagino's and directed it to you and your name at radio ops down underneath. So hopefully they delivered there and know how to get it down there. But keep an eye out for that. Your name, Bill to you. No, I'm kidding. That's on my credit card. All right, dude. Enjoy. Hopefully they'll say something nice about me.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here. Fred, Andy, Tom, Paul. We're going to be here until 2 o'clock taking your phone calls and emails. And we're going to start right off the bat making this a huge show. On the line right now, we have the Patriots' number one backup
Zolak
receiver of all time, Scott Zolak. Scott, how you doing?
You do know he played quarterback,
that had to be the
right?
longest open I've ever heard on a radio show.
Well, I know.
You know what they say? When you don't have enough content, you got to fill all the little things and things.
Oh.
What's going on, boys?
Well, I know, Scott, you're the big pro now. You got your show on 790 The Score.
Zolak.
Score all day, score often. Yeah, and then we got Maury on in the afternoon. It's like, hi, I'm on Brian Maury. It's like you go on, you castrate those cows, and you're hanging on to them. Maury's like really excited to be on.
Because if there was I don't know.
So, Scott, this time of year, it happens a lot recently. You know, your ex-team gets into the playoffs, makes a run like this. What does it mean for you as an ex-player? Do you get any more excited than the average fan when this is going on?
More money doing shows, you know, more TV shows.
So it's all about the Benjamins.
It's all about the money. That's what it is. You know, Sade, more picks he gets, that price tag goes
Zolak.
Up. It's amazing. And I said this the other night. I said, you know, of all the great runs they've had, you know, 01 was, 02 was kind of unexpected, you know. They stuck up on a lot of people. You know, they're on everybody's radar right now. After you win 3 of 5, you're going to get everybody's best game each and every week. I don't care if you're playing Detroit, Chicago, Miami, the Jets, the Colts. Everybody's up for you. You know what you're going to get. And the fact that they're doing it with some guys that they actually found off the street about 10 weeks ago, and, you know, I'm talking about Jabbar Gassie.
Sure.
You know, the Doug Gabriel experiment didn't go well. They said bye to him. They're losing a pick over it. So they go find Gaffney, plug him in, and, you know, it's the system that all of us, and I think you guys have even criticized it, that how are you going to win with guys like this? How do you say bye to Branch? How do you say bye to Gibbons and replace them with, in essence, nobody?
Well, I've never criticized
I was going to say, Zoe, Fred never criticizes anything this team has ever done.
Well,
that's right, Fred, stick to your guns, baby, or we'll charge you for it.
Hey, you know, I'm doing all right, but Scott, you know, having said that, and, you know, when it comes to picking games, I usually, if there's a doubt to be given, I always give the benefit of the doubt to the Patriots because of their history, recent history. I think they
and
deserve
his paycheck.
It. But for this particular game, I'm kind of shocked at all the national writers picking the Colts because I think, you know, really, I think the Patriots are the superior team And for once, I'm picking them because I actually think they're better, not just because I'm a homer. But these national guys are picking the Colts. Are you surprised at that, or do you see?
No, I'm not surprised at it at all. I think, you know, if you look at all the local guys, including myself, you guys, we see this team week in, week out for 21 weeks. You cover them all the way up through camp. You guys are there every day at camp, and you're up there at the stadium now. Think about it from a national perspective. I go back to the early 90s when we were playing Buffalo, and they went to 4 straight Super Bowls. Granted, they didn't win them, but, you know, it still takes a special damn team to get there each and every year. They did that 4 consecutive years. I don't think that's ever been done. So there's a lot of people out there that don't want to cover this team. They've seen it enough. They want some new blood, and I think the whole Peyton Manning growing up in New Orleans, old man Archie played there on some bad teams. He was a good player. Hurricane Katrina, Sean Payton, Reggie Bush, they just for better storylines.
Yeah, but
that, you know, gives them something different to do.
I know, but by picking as the Patriots, that's not going to make that happen. I'm wondering why they're not.
It motivates them.
Well, but yeah, but I'm just wondering. Well, yeah, it motivates the Patriots.
Yeah, that's what he said. Without
a doubt. I mean,
right. But what I'm saying,
the little blood that I think Bob Sanders had yesterday. He said, you know, Tom Brady's 12-2 in the playoffs, and there it is right there, be on the locker room clipboard, hanging in every locker. They already gave him a loss. Somehow they tweet things. And,
but that's what I'm saying. I mean, how does that help? If the writers don't want to cover the Patriots, how does it help them by picking against them and giving them motivation? So are you saying that these writers are simply picking against the Patriots because they don't want to cover the team and it's not based on sound analysis?
Yeah, I think they want new blood. You know, here's the thing. Why should they pick for them now? They picked against them all year.
Yeah.
You know, now if they pick for them, now they get explained for 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl. Why all of a sudden are they on the bandwagon? So in essence, they got to pick them and hope the Colts win so that they look good, and then they can sit there and look all pompous and sit up nice and straight with their new suits on down in Miami. And, you know, then we got to sit here and listen to blowhards. Hopefully they have a mute button for Shannon Sharp this weekend on the pregame.
Right.
you don't listen to that. Listen to us on the Rock Radio Network. You
now,
know?
Now, I know 790 would never jump the gun, but if the Patriots were fortunate enough to advance, you guys are going to have a big presence down in Miami? You're going to be down there?
Yeah, I think we're going to be there from that Monday on.
Okay. Down in Media Row?
Yeah, Media Row. You know, we're going to be doing a ton of stuff with Channel 4. And it's, you know, we're used to this.
Right.
We're used to covering this team deep into the playoffs. And I don't think the team would want it any other way for them to be picked, to be favored.
Right.
They do want the respect. And, they, you know, obviously they'd love to have more guys in the Pro Bowl. But, you know, bottom line, I think it really means that when Brady says it, that, you know, man, all we care about is winning.
Right.
You know, those awards will come, and if they do, they do. If they don't, you know, so be it.
In your mind, Scott, what's the biggest advantage that the Patriots have over the Colts in this game?
Experience in pressure situations. Are there mismatches? And, you know, obviously Colts have the two best receivers, and, you know, they do some things. They created some problems defensively, and, you know, they brought a more physical game to Foxborough in Week 9. But go back to that game last week. Big situations, 4th and 11. Oh, my God, I got a Pro Bowl kicker. You know what? What the hell? Let's go for it here.
Right.
Early in the game.
Unbelievable.
At home in San Diego.
Yeah.
Little things like that. Bill Belichick doesn't do that. You know, these guys don't crack under pressure. Brady got the pick right there at the end. Troy Brown got the strip. What happens? Brady doesn't harp on it and sulk over it. Oh, my God, I threw a bad ball. Puts it behind and moves on.
All right,
so they get the score. Then you get the 2-point conversion.
Well, before we say goodbye, I just want to thank you last week for the huge hookup that you gave us with the Papaginos. That was huge.
Hey, that was well induced, man. I'm sorry for stealing the food the week prior. I thought it was for those other clowns on the other goofy station.
That's all right. We were going to send Casale over to you to see you.
But Zoe, we do need
a lot of Italians down here in Providence.
Zoe, we do need to let you know that you only lasted as our favorite score personality for about 6 days because Brian Morey sent us lunch yesterday.
What did he send in, sushi?
Yeah, it wasn't
chicken
as much
parm
as
subs,
you.
And, buffalo parm subs and buffalo
don't
fingers.
Don't worry, Zoe. You're still my favorite.
Well, we're really looking forward to Gresh stepping up because we think he could put together a spread for us.
Hey, anytime you want to send that little meathead heart down, I'd love to have it with a fill-in cold.
Yeah, have Gresh send us just his lunch because I'm sure that's enough to feed all of us.
Now, if you guys
be shocked, the guy does. He's the pickiest fat guy I've ever been on.
Come on,
he must do
I'm
it.
Not buying
he
it.
He must do it all
I
at home. Then
God, he only eats like certain pizza. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, but he eats the whole pizza.
You know, so svelte.
Yeah. Thyroid problem. That's
so,
what it is.
So if you guys go to Miami, do you allow Maury to go down or do you keep him back in Rhode Island?
I don't know what their plan is. If they're going to send the afternoon guys or not, that's not up to me. That's the powers that be. You know, everybody's in a crunch right now.
No, don't change the subject. Answer the question.
Exactly. And I tell you why. There's no way. Oh, my God. I forgot all about this football team. We've all been exonerated.
All right. Well, Scott.
I love it. I love that.
We appreciate you taking some time to call in.
No, I'm kidding.
Good luck.
All right, guys, have fun. Good luck.
Okay.
See you in Miami.
All right.
See
that's
you,
Scott Zolak, the greatest backup quarterback this franchise has ever had.
I just want to say,
who's not a receiver anymore?
I just want to say thanks Zolak for allowing us to ask some questions, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jesus.
What, you had questions?
Yeah.
You're supposed to raise your hand.
Well, no. You're sitting there all you're not even looking. You're looking at your microphone. Well, tell us what the advantage of when they play the Colts.
I was looking at it. Why did you just tell me? I had a question. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I did.
Ask me. I'll answer it.
About halfway through, I went with the Animal House. Leave him alone. He's on a roll.
That's what
theory.
I did. Forget it. Never mind.
I just wanted to get rid of him and get to the emails. But
well, maybe you shouldn't have asked him 30 questions.
Well, you know, you want to...
Yes. What a glamour hog.
Jesus.
I'm a glamour hog?
Yes.
Oh, my God. What question
I think
would
he was just afraid that we were going to get some off-kilter theories out there.
As a professional, as an NFL quarterback, I'd like to get his take on Peyton Manning. And if the game gets close, you know, does he start to get tense?
Does he actually see it? Can you see it from watching?
Well, Tom, you know, you've seen the games just as well as I have. Obviously, he gets tense, especially when things aren't going well for him.
See, I don't...
That's his answer.
Okay.
But I
thank you, Scott.
Thanks for giving what he may have said, but I don't see that. I see him looking like he's nervous all the time.
All the time.
But I know he's not.
Is he nervous like right when the game starts, or does it sometime during the game does he get that way if he throws a pick or
I think he's always
from a visual, I don't see him being any different in the first quarter against the Houston Texans as I do in the fourth quarter of a playoff game. Looking now he might play differently.
Yeah. What'd you say?
And I don't think there's any question that he hasn't played as well.
All right. Well, guys, how's
when he
going?
Started yelling, by the way, I couldn't hear what he was saying. He was tough to understand when he gets worked up.
When
well,
he was doing
I think
the Brian
he's on
Laurie
his car
thing,
phone,
I like
right?
that.
Yeah, and he had another call coming in at one point.
Yeah. But that's good to hear from Scott Zolak. So how are you guys doing? What's going on? Belichick today? Other press conferences?
Yeah, yes. later this afternoon. A little change in the schedule because of the AFC Championship, Fred. 1:40, Belichick will go.
1:40, he's going. Has the locker room opened up, or is it going
no,
to?
There is no locker room.
No locker room today.
There's just press conferences on the NFL Network. All fans can watch them.
Well, if you have the NFL Network.
Yeah.
And they'll also be live on Patriots.com and on NFL.com.
Now, are the other teams doing this, too?
Yeah, it's all
so
it's
what,
like
20-minute
segments.
So what the fans should do is watch the Patriots and then watch the other teams and see how boring the Patriots are compared to everybody else.
That's okay.
No, I'm just saying. It's interesting. Don't you think that's interesting, Fred, that some teams will just sit there and like...
Well, actually, did you read Michael Silver in the Sports Illustrated?
I try not to.
He was saying how all the teams, except for...
Actually, he said, while I was at dinner with Bill Belichick and rubbing Don Shula's thigh, I found out that all teams.
Because
he puts himself in every story.
Right. He had problems with all the teams except for the Saints, I think. He says, I guess in the Bears locker room, like when it's time for the open locker room to start to wrap up, they have this thing where the players start making these like bellowing noises like dinosaurs, and they just drown out any questions that writers are asking to get them out the door. You know, it says it's really obnoxious what they do there. And then,
kinda
of course,
like Roosevelt Colvin yelling, "That's it, guys, wrap it up."
And then I guess the Colts.
Or the fact that there's 10 players in the locker
room. He said the Colts are just like the Patriots in that they don't give out information. So we had problems with all three teams except for the Saints so far, I think. But, you know.
The way I look at it is the teams aren't here to, you know, make it easier for everybody else to do their job. You know, it's frustrating at times.
Yeah, I agree, Paul. When they make that $50 million, it's really, you know, let's make bellowing noises so other people
can't. No, I don't think that's right, Tom. I'm not saying that. And I don't think it's right that the players don't show up at all the way they do here. Because I'd say 50% of the players on the Patriots roster that absolutely have not been in the locker room during an open media time once all year.
And I just think it's...
I don't think that's
if I
right.
played for the Patriots, I wouldn't either, because I'd be afraid to say something wrong.
But all I'm saying is,
I don't understand, like, the noises and not showing up. If you don't want to talk, all you got to say is, I'm sorry, guys, I'm not talking today.
Right.
You never get bothered again. No one bothers you anymore. Is it that hard to do that?
I actually love the guys, like, just answer five questions and then say, all right, guys, I got some things I got to take care of.
Yeah,
make a presence, answer a couple questions, and leave.
I was actually, you know, when I started to say that, I was actually going to say the only part that I do mind is the lack of respect that sometimes you're given. And, you know, when you ask a question, I don't care if it's a good question, bad question, or indifferent, I think you deserve to have, you know, somebody give you an honest response.
This
what do we
just
got?
In
Rodney
from,
Harrison will play.
From
IR.
Casey O'Connell from the Patriots PR staff for immediate relief January 19, 2007. Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist Andre Tippett to serve as Patriots honorary captain at the AFC Championship game. So there you go. He'll be out at the coin toss.
For a minute there, I thought we had news.
Apparently not.
Well, I think that's good for him, though. Get a little bit of national exposure.
Yeah. Not according to Gordon Forbes. Forbes said no chance.
8-1.
No
chance.
8-1. 8-1.
Yep.
He put him what? 10. He did odds on all. Yeah.
I think those odds are pretty good. I'd have made him higher.
Well, no, but he did in order of odds. Like he listed some guys at, what are they, like 3-4?
Because 8-1
like
odds aren't that bad.
Well, he had the old guys at 4-5.
He had 8. Yeah. See, is that? I mean, I trust Gordon because I know he did that before, but is that automatic? Those
4-5
every year,
means you're in.
Right. Those guys automatically get in every year?
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Because if that's the case, then Tip has no chance.
Yeah, because that takes away two
That means
slots.
There's only four potential slots.
Oh, right. You mean the Veterans Committee thing? Yeah.
Those guys are automatics every
that's
year?
That's a pain in the
well,
ass.
They don't,
I didn't know that.
They don't recommend them every year.
Do you think Tagliabue is a lock?
Count.
Unfortunately, yes.
I think that's so bad.
Well,
stupid.
The voters, when I was talking about the Corey Dillon thing, that some of them wrote that to me, you know. They don't think that Tagliabue should go in right now, but they said, unfortunately, he most likely will. So that's one spot. Taken from
but if they all think that, then
he won't get
he
in.
He won't get in.
Well, like this one guy.
Is it an open ballot or is it a secret ballot?
Well, they I know they argue over it. You know, when they're doing that.
Oh, no, I think maybe they'd be afraid not
but
to vote for.
Yeah,
written.
Right. I think it's supposed to be that he should go. You know what I mean? It's kind of like
why
needs,
wait your 5 years?
Yeah.
Because that's the way life is. You know how
Stupid.
Life's run. We don't run it, Andy.
Well,
he's not.
If we did, it'd be a much better world to live in.
I just don't get it.
I also like the. I think Gordon mentioned that there's one voter who refuses to vote for contributors.
For contributors.
Period. Yeah. Which, again, these guys that
right,
have these rights and they make up their own rules. I don't think they should have. He should be in. I don't think it's right. But if it's a rule that he has to be considered, you can't just eliminate him.
Right.
You have to take him on his.
You
merit.
Know what they need, Paul? They need a committee to oversee that committee. Like we
absolutely.
Like you know, hey, listen, if you're not voting for guys for certain teams or because you have a person, listen,
you're out.
Give me your vote. Here you go. Give it to somebody.
And that's
else.
What baseball did. The guy that refused to vote for Pedro Martinez for MVP because he was a pitcher, lost his vote.
Thanks. For
no
stopping.
Longer allowed to vote for MVP.
Wow.
Because you can't do that.
Yeah.
Right. If you left Derek Jeter off the ballot altogether, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, and you're also stupid for saying what you're doing, you know?
Well, that's part of it is they want to try
to
make a big name for themselves.
They want to be the person who's trying to be different and make a change.
Then we'll just forget about
them
2 weeks later.
You know, these writers that want to be the story.
Right.
That's
the problem.
You know,
well, that's
Fred.
Why
you're basically
now we're back
to
Michael
Silver. You're intermediary between the fans and the team. That's all you are.
You do know you were throwing trash away.
And if
there was
you do that job
there,
well,
right?
You have value.
The barrel's
if you try
right
to
out.
Insert yourself into the story, you lose all your value and credibility.
Nobody cares about us.
Right.
If the three of us left today, three more people would come in.
Right.
They wouldn't do the job nearly as good, let's be honest, but there would be three people here.
But that was the part that I was getting to when you sort of attacked me about the whole
thing. Well, no, I was just thinking of those Bears guys doing that. And
I
really
don't think making
me.
The noises is right. Let's put it that way. Wow.
You know,
there's another angle that I didn't see before on that Patriot celebration.
Oh, you mean it was Colvin? I can't believe it. That's the first thing we all said when we heard there was a problem. We said, must have been Colvin.
So what?
I'm not saying it's wrong, Fred. I'm just saying we
Why
knew
are you
who it was.
Get mad?
We knew it wasn't Kevin Falk.
I can't believe they're
way.
Still talking about
we
it.
We knew it wasn't Tom Brady, Richard Seymour, Ty Warren, you know, the guys that actually purport themselves with a little bit of class.
Well,
but, Fred, you know what you're missing here?
Oh,
that's not what caused the problems. What they were doing on the sidelines, it was when Ellis Hobbs was walking out to greet San Diego,
live?
And he did it.
One guy did
and
it.
And then LT went over to say, you don't need
right.
to do that.
Right.
So
right.
I think the whole thing just got blown way out of
way. Way out.
the Chargers are, they were just trying to distract themselves from the fact that they just blew the game.
They were doing that to the fans, much like Shannon Sharp picked up the phone and said somebody called the National
Guard. And I remember
when
the Patriots beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh, we had the towels on the bench after the game to the fans. Big deal. You lost the game. You know, you're allowed to celebrate.
Well, if the Colts win this week, we'll see how the other team reacts.
Hey, you know what?
I have no problem with celebration.
I don't either.
All I'm saying is the part that they don't show a lot, the main story is when Hobbs was coming up, and then he did the lights out, and LT saw him, and he started sprinting over. Then the Patriots thought there was going to be some kind of fight.
Right.
And I think he was just going to say, hey, you don't need to do that. But it wasn't even Colvin and Wolfork doing it.
Right.
They were doing it on the sidelines.
Right.
It was, it was. Look, I think it was much ado about nothing, but I also, I don't think there's any way you can win this from the San Diego perspective.
No.
You know, as much as I like and respect LaDainian Tomlinson, he comes off as a baby, and you can't get around
that. And he was probably just,
you're
like
a bad
guy.
Why am I a bad guy?
Because you don't believe he's classy. You're mocking him for saying he's classy.
I know. He told me he's classy.
Exactly.
So I know he's classy. Right. He told us that twice.
You are a bad guy.
Why am I a bad guy?
And you know what? Comments like that is why we have the reputation we have.
Oh, I know.
Just like you infected the whole team with the flu.
Oh, my God. We have to be right down the middle.
You're a carrier.
We have to be right down the middle.
Well, no, I don't. You don't.
Do you think that Tom Brady didn't celebrate after that game?
So what? He's not.
You think that Richard Seymour didn't celebrate
after
the game?
Some people do it in different ways. There's some guys, no matter what, they're going to be.
Is there anything that your team could do that you would
I wouldn't care.
I'm asking, is there anything? I'm not saying what they did.
Of course there were.
Is there anything that you would say?
Yes, break the law, I'm against
you. Do you find it at all strange that Tom Brady and Ty Warren both came out and publicly said that they thought that maybe it went a little bit over the line?
That's whatever they say. They want to keep their guys under. But if the Colts start.
There's nothing I can say
if
here.
If the Colts win this game and start dancing all over the place and
it's
pointing at the
Patriots.
It's going
to piss you off.
So what?
And you're going to make fun of Bill
Polian. I'm more pissed. But the reason I'm
pissed
off.
Gary, you got this on tape. I hope you got this on tape.
The reason I'm pissed off is because we lost.
Right.
And they get to shove it in
you're
our faces.
Be,
so
I mean,
you won't care if Adam gives a throat slash sign if he makes a game-winning field goal and then just gives it like the suck it to the Patriots.
So what?
Okay. All right. I'm just clarifying.
Like, and so I'll what? Say one of my favorite.
By saying he disrespected it, does that take away the hurt from losing the game?
No.
No, it doesn't.
One of my favorite Red Sox of all time, certainly in that 04 championship season, was Derek Lowe. And I think what he did was completely classless after he struck out Terrence Long to end that Oakland series.
Suck it. I know.
Totally classless, and I love Derek Lowe, but I was not happy that my team acted like that after winning a series.
Well, you're very consistent.
Well, because
and
I have some
and your team didn't,
ethics.
By the way. It was just Derek Lowe.
No, the team was ridiculous in its celebration. Well, Derek Lowe had the single action.
Right.
Fred, I thought you said, why are we still talking about this?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I'm just going to do what
Andy's
Tom.
Not. He's
I'm
just
doing
listening.
What, I'm doing what
I
Tom
just
want to
move
said.
On.
I'm doing what Tom just said. And fortunately, we're not going to be able to find out about this because I don't think the Colts have a sniff. But if by some chance they pull off the upset and beat the Patriots, you're on double secret probation the whole year. I want to see you
because
they're going to talk until the cows
especially
come
Freeney.
Home.
Freeney's a big talker.
So what?
And I'll see how you act. I'll see what you say.
And you use it as motivation and you say,
forget the motivation. I'll
see
how you react.
You'll
be on double secret probation for a couple of months. I want to see how you react.
Oh, I'm not going to tell people I'm classy.
Well, we know that.
No one would buy it.
You know?
The emailers have already figured that out.
All right, welcome to Colts.com, starring Paul Perillo.
Colts.com. I just got finished saying I don't think the Colts have a sniff to win this game, and he calls me Colts.com.
Well, how about
no
anything
chance.
But Patriots.com, starring Paul Perillo?
I think the Patriots are going to win, so I don't really understand what you're talking about.
It's the first time all year, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's the first time all year.
And I'm worried about the fact that Paul thinks they're going
to
win.
I'm worried about you two.
Do you want me to run down?
You're going to be next to each other on the plane again. And
do you want me to
I know, Paul. You're 14-2. 14-3, picking the Patriots.
Three. I lost three games because I lost San Diego.
Okay.
I lost Cincinnati. I thought they were going to lose.
Signed Trot Nixon.
And I lost the Jets. I thought they were going to win. And I lost San Diego. That's the three times I picked Patriots games incorrectly this season.
All right.
I couldn't tell you my record. I just know
that I'm going to guess that you are 14-4. Just off the top of my head, I'm going with 14-4.
The Jacksonville game.
Oh, no, you did? All right. 13-5.
The But I'm just stunned sitting there every night. Watching that TV and hear everyone talking about the Colts. And I said upstairs, Fred, the one guy who's been consistent is Deion Sanders. He said after they beat the Patriots earlier in the year, he said, I still don't buy this team. I don't think their defense is good enough to win a championship. And he said last night, this defense has just played two of the worst offenses in the NFL. Now they got Brady, they got Maroney, they got those guys they got to deal with. He said it's going to be a different animal on Sunday.
I'm hoping
and
that's true.
He's the one guy
that's what I'm basing. That's what I'm basing
feel.
My analysis on, and you, and
yeah,
we all of us.
That's
are.
Why I feel the way
we
I
agree
feel.
With him. But what are these guys thinking?
What is this? It's Manning's time, and I said upstairs, Fred, if I put a gun to the head of everybody who picked the Colts and said, your life depends on it. Who's going to win, Belichick or Brady or Dungy or Manning? And you know damn well they all
right.
picked the Patriots.
Absolutely.
So they're all frauds.
Yeah.
See, I think Joe's whole thing was a little flawed because I agree with him that people are looking and wanting a different storyline. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, yeah, they definitely want the Colts Saints.
And
that
that's
writes
fine.
Itself.
Okay,
that's
I made the
you
comparison.
You can say,
the
I think the Patriots
does.
Are going to win, but
right.
I hope the Colts will.
Right, yeah. I made the comparison to, you know, the Yankees and the Lakers and those teams. I think there's some of that with the Patriots. When you win as much as the Patriots do, when you're impartial and you're not emotionally attached, you're going to root against that team. I have no problem with that. I probably would be doing the same thing if I lived in, you know, Arkansas.
Peabody.
Oh, whatever. But I don't understand how you can sit there and pick the game and say, I think someone's going to win. I could say, I'm hoping the Colts win.
Right.
But the only logic, Tom just said it, the only analysis anyone is giving is it's Peyton Manning's time.
Yep.
That's not analysis.
And the
That's
whole,
no better than saying, well, the Patriots have Belichick
and
Brady.
And their problem is they can't say, I'm hoping the Colts win, because then that takes away their perceived impartiality, but the very fact that they're all picking the Colts proves that these guys are not impartial. They're picking who they're rooting for.
I think you may be right, Fred. I mean,
I don't think anybody's impartial, I don't really
But
care.
At least they're supposed to try.
When the Patriots,
these guys are picking who they're rooting for.
In 2001, when the Patriots first made the Super Bowl, they were an irrelevant franchise. Nobody cared about them. People were rooting for them. They wanted them to win. They wanted them to beat the Rams because the Rams were winners. They were sick of seeing them. But now the Patriots have gotten so good, nobody can stand to see them anymore.
Right.
If in 7 years from now, if the Titans have 3 Super Bowl rings, they'll be facing the same thing. Everyone will be against the Titans.
Right.
It happens to everybody because no one wants to see the same team constantly winning.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
Except for Tom when the Cowboys are involved.
I don't want the Cowboys to win. I think they suck.
Oh.
They're 9-8. Their coach should be fired, and so a lot of players should be cut.
Meanwhile, big article on Parcells today, still making twist in the wind.
This is what I don't like, Fred. This is what I don't like. The Crafts were exactly right. I've said this before. I'm so sick and tired of this guy acting like Brett Favre every year and taking the franchise hostage. Now, he better come back now, because it's been a month. Or you know what I'm saying? It's every year with this. You can't put anything in place.
Yeah. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-543-7482. Of course, the emails are flying in. Arthur from Miami, who was raised in Dedham, says, screw the Colts, screw their fans, and screw all the media that's taken on a patriot-hating mentality. Let's get down in the pit and get it on. Patriots will prevail. Let the Pats know they owe that to me. After I attended the Miami game in Dolphin Stadium and was forced to watch that debacle with my Dolphin fan in-laws, I'd give your left nut to be a 250-pound Patriot linebacker and have the opportunity to nail Manning and drive him into the ground.
Give your left nut.
Yeah, right.
I like my left nut.
I like them both.
Hey, Fred, let me ask you.
Oh, come on, you got two.
What happens if the Colts blow them out? What's the reaction from Patriot fans? Say it's 41-17 final. How does Patriots Nation react to this?
Well,
the officials costing the game.
Shut.
I'm just guessing.
Well,
I'm just guessing on the storyline right now. If they lose, the officials costing
the game. I
mean,
the honest reaction should be, okay. It depends on how it unfolds.
No, the Colts dominate. The Colts dominate start to finish, win 41-17, never close. It's never in question.
But is it like Patriots continuing
first
going
drive of the game,
out?
The Patriots got caught for a questionable false start.
The Colts,
they just stop
offensively.
Change
they're
the
just
whole
moving
complexion.
Up and down the field. You know, they get a couple of turnovers, and Manning has a huge day.
I think the honest reaction should be, well, hey, that Colt defense is for real. We were wrong.
And we were right about the Patriots a month and a half ago when we said they weren't a championship team.
That's what I was wondering. Would that be the reaction?
Some fans
would. Say, well,
some fans will.
I think they would have to say the Patriots are the second best team in the NFL.
See, I'd have to see something like that. I'd have to see the game unfold a little bit.
Yeah.
Because if, let's just say for argument's sake, the Colts, your scenario unfolds, but this is how it unfolds. The Colts are able to crowd the line of scrimmage and stop the run without fear of getting really hurt in the passing game, and they get away with it. Mm-hmm. You know, Nick Harper and who's the other guy? David? Is he still there? Jason David?
David.
And, you know, and Bethea in the back with Bob Sooner. They're able to lock down the receivers and cover them, you know, without really any fear of repercussions. Then maybe you could say, well, we thought the receivers would be the Achilles heel, and ultimately that was the case. You could make that argument.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I think if you lose 38-34, then I don't think anybody can sit there and say, well, Deion Branch is the reason why they don't.
Right.
Adam Vinatieri is the reason why they didn't, you know, they didn't win.
Right. It'll be you have to see how they lose or how they win to figure out what your opinion will be after that game. But I'll tell you, I'll be really downcast if they lose this game.
I will.
Because I really think they should win.
I think they should win.
Not just I want them to, I think they should win. You know, if they lost to San Diego, I'd be feeling bad. But
if they get,
you know,
if they get whooped good by the Colts, could it be that maybe we were right when we said San Diego never took advantage of those opportunities and maybe this team shouldn't have been in this position?
Well, I think even if the Patriots beat the Colts, I think we could still say that San Diego didn't take it.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying,
you know,
if they
9 out of 10 times, the Chargers might be better than all these teams.
But if they whoop them, maybe they overachieve by getting to this point in the first place is what I'm saying.
And it could have, you know, like the letdown factor, you know, there could be a lot of, I don't know. Can you see that happening, though? The Colts?
No, I'm just asking.
Yeah,
I think there's a chance of that.
Well, I don't think. Let's
put
it this way:
receiver secondary, you could end up with a
slim. The slim chance of a Colts victory,
a whoop.
I think, is a whoop.
Because
I don't think they're going to beat them in a close game.
Yeah. Okay.
But trouble is, everybody's picking the Colts 24-21.
I don't see that.
I don't understand that.
Unless 20-19.
Unless Andy, unless it's like 24-3, and the Patriots make a valiant rally that falls short. A valiant rally that falls short. I don't see a 24-21
game. I'm so
dumb
I didn't get that.
All right.
I edited right over that.
Let's see. Who's this? RJ writes in. He says, with all the talk about national figures picking the Colts over the Pats, I thought maybe an article on ESPN.com might shed a little light. My theory is that people just want Peyton Manning to go away as badly as I do. Maybe they figure that if he wins the Super Bowl, he'll be immediately ascended to the heavens with the likes of John Elway and Joe Montana, never again to bother us mortals. In an article entitled He Who Laughs Last, ESPN.com reports that Peyton Manning may have Tom Brady right where he wants him. That Manning, much like John Elway, is simply better than his peers, and that it's only fitting the Patriots are standing in the way of Peyton Manning finally winning a Super Bowl. It ends with a mention that the Patriots could go to a fourth Super Bowl, but that Peyton could also fulfill his supposed destiny. I just threw my hands up. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Manning has Brady right where he wants.
Yeah. So.
The hell does that mean?
I don't think they're defending each other, so very little.
Yeah. Actually, they're good friends.
Yeah.
You know, they talk and they respect each other. Bill Dean writes, and the pressure isn't on the Pats, it's on the Colts. Manning and Tony Dungy have lost every title game they've ever played in college or the pros, and it will be a big thing in the long run. Now that at this point it's not talent, it's heart and want too. At this level, they're all the same. Talent doesn't, I don't know. Anyway, his point is that...
Another one on Fred's side.
His point is the intangibles go to the Patriots, I guess. All right.
I would agree with the intangibles going on the Patriots side wholeheartedly. That's a huge edge.
How much?
The tangibles go to the Patriots side.
I mean, we've seen a lot of road teams win so far in the playoffs. Does the dome play any factor in the Colts' favor in this game?
Only if they get up, like, early. I think it can get really loud. You start getting those penalties. And I think that's the only way. Because the Patriots play so well in domes. Right. They take crowds out of the game. And
It's a loud place.
Yeah.
It
is so loud. You know where else is loud? Minnesota. How'd that turn out for them?
Right. Well,
but it, I mean, it's always better to play at home than not.
Yeah. Well, but Minnesota was really loud at the beginning of that game. Remember when Corey Dillon got stuffed on that second play of the game? It was going nuts. But as soon as
third and ten,
as soon as Gabriel caught that pass,
yeah,
it just went dead silent.
I think that any momentum type of shifting play by the Patriots will take that crowd right out because the doubt will start immediately coming into their heads.
Could they get ugly? Could it become an ugly crowd if the Patriots are rolling a little?
That'd be great.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
Because there's frustration in Colts Nation. Or
if they lose this game, watch out.
Yeah. I just want Polian to run out and just start.
But if they lose this game, Colts fans are going to want Manning's head, Dungy's head, everybody's head that they can find because they really think that they're going to win this game.
I want to leave that place in shambles. I want to just, as Fred the buses walk away. Like the city's burning.
Fred's going to have one of those things.
City's burning.
Burning as our buses
in the Roadrunner that never goes off with the two handles. And he's going to push it down, and
TNT.
The whole dome's going to explode.
Right. Just leave the whole city in ruins as we drive away in our buses, all nice and warm and content, knowing that we're going.
Fred's
to Miami.
Not happy with a win. He wants to rape the women and children.
Right. You got that right.
What's wrong?
I heard your buddy Polian this morning, Freddie, on ESPN Radio.
Oh, was he good?
And he made.
Why is he doing interviews?
He made a comment that they asked him about.
Why not?
In 2003, when they came in here and they lost, and the whole furor over the illegal contact rules and whatnot, and he just wanted to state for the record that, in full disclosure, he is a member of the competition committee, but he never said anything about the. Rules or how that game was officiated.
He did nothing
but credit the New England Patriots for being the better team that day and congratulated them and wished them well in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And that is all that he did. And of course, it was the Patriots.
Did he ask the questions that Mike Felger wanted him to? Mike Greenberg? Felger found out that Polian was going to be on this morning, so he emailed in rather pompous gesture, in my opinion, emailed Mike Greenberg, who, has a national radio show, and told him how to do his job by, please ask all these tough questions. Don't ask those Dan Patrick, what's his favorite Jay-Z song questions.
You mean, this is the same Mike Felger that, when we're off the air, says to us, what should I ask Matt Lee?
Right. What a moron.
It's also the guy who barely has a local show, never mind a national
one. Is this
one.
The man?
You guys got any questions for Rosie Colvin?
Right. Is he here yet, by the way?
What would you ask?
And then he turns over a piece of paper and starts writing them down.
Right. He comes in, what would you ask Troy Brown? You tell him something. First question to Troy Brown is your question. Word for word.
Dean is in Florida, but he's originally from Plymouth, Mass.
One second, Fred.
Yeah, okay.
Before we move on, he doesn't want Dan Patrick asking those questions like, do you have a real or fake Christmas tree? Like he spent 10 minutes with Troy Brown on.
Right. And not
those
only one show, he followed up on two shows after
those
that.
Hard-hitting journalists.
I
got
to tell you,
questions.
I'd rather listen to those questions any day of the week, to be honest with you.
Well, because, with the Patriots players.
Well, especially with the Patriots players, because I know they're not going to tell me what they think anyway.
See, I like the mix. Give me a couple real game questions about the AFC
title
game.
Loosens them up.
And then...
Yeah, loosens them up a little bit. Dean is in Florida, but he's originally from Plymouth, Mass., I'm assuming, not Plymouth, New Hampshire. But the subject line...
Plantation.
What?
Or plantation.
Right.
Plymouth Rock.
The subject line says, you guys don't get too cocky. He says, Pat's got their asses handed to them last week, and if Brady turns the ball over four or five times... Like first game this year, the Colts will win.
That's correct.
Can the Pats win? Of course, I think they are going to win. But some of you guys might want some potato to go with the crow you might eat. This is a game where one can play, one play
Patty
can change the outcome.
Does. He's a drunk.
Yeah, but who cares?
Why?
Like if we're wrong, who cares?
I know.
Go blame Belichick.
Why not
and
have an opinion?
Yeah,
right.
You're going to blame us if they lose. I'll tell you what. Go blame your head coach.
We're
going to
spend a week
saying,
well, they could win, but they could lose.
All think the Patriots are going to win the game. We have no doubts amongst us. That's what we think, and that's what we're saying.
And last week we had no doubts that they were going to lose, and we got killed all week for that.
Because I thought they were going to win.
You always think they're going to win. We discount you from these discussions of objectivity.
I have in the past, when I honestly, truly believe they're going to lose, I say they're going to lose. But as I said, if there's any doubt, I give it to the Patriots.
So you're the anti-Ron Borges.
When would there ever not be a doubt? Just give me an example of a no, there's no doubt they're going to lose.
Cincinnati.
And I've been wrong. I remember in 1 year I picked the Colts twice and I was wrong both times.
I can't even imagine that year.
I just can't imagine ever going into an NFL.
To believe it.
I can't imagine going into an NFL playoff game and there's just like, there's no doubt, there's no
you
possibility.
You believe this week there's no doubt.
I think the Patriots, I can definitely see
right,
a way the Colts can win.
I mean, the Lions could have beat the Patriots that week this year. I mean, but going into that game, you've got to pick the Patriots.
But here's the bottom line, Fred. Until Brady and Belichick lose a big game and Manning and Dungy win one, I'm never picking the Colts. So there's my analysis right there.
There you go. I like it. Tim says, is there going to be a send-off for the Pats at Gillette? If so, when? Not for this game. Not for this game.
Sure, Tim, show up.
Actually, the rally.
Bring chicken parm sauce.
They're still cleaning up from the rally in San Diego.
Buffalo fingers, please.
Yeah. Here's where we get our, on our pompous soapbox. No. We're not in San Diego.
Well, they're still cleaning up from that rally.
We don't do that anymore.
The divisional playoff game rally.
We don't have those kinds of send-offs anymore.
Yeah.
Anymore.
For divisional games?
Yeah, it was. No excitement when we went
again,
to Pittsburgh.
Welcome to anythingbutpatriots.com starring Paul Perillo.
I just don't like the fact that we lie. That's all.
We lie?
I don't lie.
Did they have a rally for the divisional playoff game in San Diego?
I lie. Yes.
That's not a lie then. I'm not lying.
All I'm saying is we're claiming that we don't do similar things than we have in the past. We don't anymore because it's old hat now, but we have in the past.
We've never done anything other than before Super Bowl.
That's a lie. There's one.
When?
Pittsburgh. When we went to Pittsburgh, there was thousands of people in that parking
lot. That's not an organized rally. Oh, come on, Paul.
Come on, Paul.
Be real. Those are just spontaneous people showing up.
Will anybody be here when we get home late Sunday night?
Probably.
If we win?
Yeah. But it's not an organized rally with a band.
There's anybody here.
Those people should be beaten to death.
I wholeheartedly agree, by the way.
If you're here at 5 o'clock in the morning waiting for the buses to show up so the players cannot look at you nor talk to you, then I don't understand.
Let me tell you something. If Ric Flair was coming, you guys would be in the parking lot meeting him.
Not at
no
5
chance.
In the morning.
Everybody's got their own thing.
Not at 5 in the morning.
Don't get on him.
I wouldn't be there
at
first.
What if it was Goldberg?
Playing.
Nope.
Who?
There's one person you could name, but you haven't gotten there.
The Rock.
Bo Jackson.
All right. Well, everyone's got their person.
Not at 5 in the morning.
I'd be there. Bo Jackson told me to be there, I'd be there.
With knee pads on. Mike from Templeton, Mass. Hey, guys, great show. Love listening to the podcast in my car each day. On Wednesday's show, y'all mentioned how everyone in the world would be picking the Pats.
We were wrong. You're a little behind.
We were absolutely wrong, and we've talked about it all week.
I was kind of surprised to hear you say this. I thought all of you by now would know that the media's love affair with the Colts. Sure enough, most experts are picking the Colts.
Actually, and we don't get the internet.
He goes on to...
we haven't noticed.
He goes on to list them all, and we've pretty much done that.
Yep.
Been there, done that.
And my only thing to defend us would be stay tuned over the weekend and keep track of the names and see how many of them actually pulled the trigger before the game and picked the Colts. I'll guarantee
just
you.
Pick both teams now.
I'll guarantee you half of those guys will pick the Patriots.
I learned it from watching you.
I only pick one team. If I'm doing so
it's
well.
It's true. People do pick both teams.
But if I'm doing
all
so well picking both teams, why did I finish in last place?
Andrew writes in.
An idiot. I don't know.
Another person. He's Jack Del Rio, I guess, picked the Colts.
Yeah. I saw that last night.
Okay.
Okay. You kind of have to because they're in your division.
Yeah,
right?
That one I don't really. If he was in, if you brought out Jaron, he'd probably pick the Patriots.
Right, right. Let's see. Hello, A-Team and or Fred. Craig from Boxborough. I have come on to the conclusion that Mike Felger is the host of the worst show on television, Four Downs with Felger.
I agree.
The mere fact that Borges and Felger appear on the show makes it even worse than shows like The View, which has its own idiot with an axe to grind in Rosie O'Donnell, who possibly is more tolerable than Borges. Don't get me wrong. Felger can be bearable in small doses, but a half hour, that's just too much. Since I hate the show so much, I am now going to do my version of First Down from Four Downs with Felger. The topic, Andy Hart.
Woo.
Consensus. He is a vital member of the PFW team who sometimes says idiotic things.
No question.
Reality. Gilligan is a cruel and twisted soul who finds comfort in bashing Irishmen who tend to indulge in alcohol too much.
Yes.
P.S., whoever the emailer is who keeps calling Casale gay is a douchebag. From what I've noticed, most people who point the finger are gay themselves. Casale for president, Pats 21, Colts 17.
We've never elected a gay president, so Tom has no chance.
I just don't understand what the big deal would be if I was gay.
I got no problem with it. What you do in your personal... You're the one who gets very defensive when the guy called you a chicken parm sandwich
he wanted
to eat.
No, that guy I never responded to, and you know I didn't have any words to say to that. If you want to eat me like a chicken parm sandwich, you've left Tom Casale speechless.
With or without sauce? Does it have sauce?
I can't eat sauce.
Oh, there'll be sauce.
Russell from the OC. Let me say, Tom's response to the emailer, who wanted to fight him, was great. Oh. I love the line, I'll kick your ass, screw your wife in front of you, and she better be good looking or I'll slap her. That's funny and right out of the days before all this political correctness ruled the day. If all that happens, please video it and put it on the website and have Grogan analyze it.
That's great.
That'll be good.
I read that one this morning.
Kirsch, what is this on the website?
We also have a record high that day, I bet, for hits.
That would be,
Tom hitting the guy who's...
everyone is good on this show, but let's be honest, this show was never as lively till Tom arrived. I've heard you guys say a few times this week. What's that?
I said, I have to agree with that.
Yeah.
Shocker. Can I ask a quick question in the middle? Because
who did I replace?
Oh, of course. when did Scott Fujita become a superstar? Do I keep reading conference calls, seeing video of him talking on TV all the time?
Who is he?
He's a journeyman linebacker.
He's a linebacker.
But he seems to be the Saints talker this week. Why is that?
Kansas City and Dallas, and now he's on the Saints.
Dallas traded for him, and then Peyton picked him up.
I could list about 12 other players on that team that I'd rather talk to first.
I have no idea.
Well, maybe not 12, but...
I don't know.
First of all, I would start on the offensive side of the ball if I was picking a player. I mean, Joe Horn, I know he's injured, but at least he talks.
Right.
Marcus Colston, Reggie Bush, Deuce McAllister, Drew Brees. None of those guys are available?
Guess not.
We got Scott frickin' Fujita.
Hart's not happy about this.
Well, I mean, that's kind of a joke. If we're going to criticize, you know, maybe some of the aspects of the PR department here, why is Scott Fujita serving as a spokesman for the Saints?
Maybe he's like the Dan Klecko.
Maybe he got the short straw.
Now you're doing it, comparing guys just based on one thing?
No, I'm meaning that they're useless.
Oh, I thought you meant, you know.
And talk.
I've heard you guys say a few times this week that you don't see the Patriots signing Lance Briggs. Why? I mean, outside of the Bears franchising him or paying him what he wants, why not
That's
here?
That's why.
They have the cash.
Or another pay
and it would be bad if the Jets, Dolphins, or Colts got him. Linebacker is a big need, and I have a Fred-like feeling Bruschi may retire after the season.
Fred-like feeling, or you watch Four Downs with Felker?
Well, Fred, reports out of Chicago is that they're going to do basically on the defensive side of the ball with the Colts on the offensive side of the ball and keep that defense together, and that Briggs isn't going anywhere. That's what the early reports are.
Well, I don't know if it was Don Banks or Michael Silver today that said you can bet that Donnie Edwards will be a Patriot next year.
All right.
We kind of all thought that might happen last year when he was on the block.
Yeah.
I don't think Briggs or Thomas are going to make their way out of either one of their teams.
I think that makes sense. That what Tom just said, but I didn't say that. I mean, if he becomes a free agent, why wouldn't the Patriots have any interest in him?
We probably said because they wouldn't, that too, he'd be,
because I think
too
much too
a lot of money,
yeah,
too
around.
Expensive. I just not think, that they wouldn't have any interest.
I think there's going to be a little bit of a change in that because I think with the increased, the percentage of the salary cap that's increased, I think you have to change a little bit
the
with
market,
the times. You have to know
but
the market.
The problem is
bit.
It increases for everyone, and
no,
there's those teams with $42 million out there looking to spend.
I understand that, but if you give him a reasonable contract, I don't know Lance Briggs from a hole in the wall, but maybe he's interested in coming
well,
here.
Well, maybe.
Let's see. Finally, to help Tom understand New Englanders in their sports view, the fatalistic aura is an inherent genetic cell to those born in Mass, New Hampshire, and Maine, which was or is passed down through generations, the cause of which was the Red Sox, because for many generations the Sox were people's first exposure to pro sports, and they're losing choking ways. It causes people to instinctively look for and lament over what bad is on the horizon.
I agree.
When it's bad, they complain it's never going to be good, and when it's good, they can only think about when it will go bad. A vicious circle.
So this really all goes back to Bill Buckner.
I think
those
it goes
type
before
of,
that.
No, I'm saying those type
long
those type
that.
Of things,
yes.
though. Those
yes.
type of defeats.
Yes.
And
you get hit so many times, you expect the next punch to be
right.
coming.
And, you know,
but you're
it's
away.
It's weird
moves
because they've
shining.
Had so much success with the Celtics, you know.
That's true, but it's definitely more geared to the Red Sox. But the Patriots, until Belichick got here, every time it seemed they were on the verge, something bad happened that was, like, really freaky. They had one of the best teams they've ever had in 1978, and Billy Sullivan was so cheap that he wouldn't pay anybody, wouldn't pay his coaches, wouldn't do anything, that Chuck Fairbanks actually made a deal to leave and go to coach the University of Colorado before the season was over, and it completely unraveled the team as it headed into the playoffs.
Think about this, and it's also the East Coast mentality, but think about this. If you take the Patriots' success of recent years and transplant that to Green Bay, can you imagine, as crazy as they are about the Packers, how crazy they would be about the home team? I mean, the whole city would be, you know, green, and it'd be incredible. But here, it's, okay, you know, yeah. We get excited when it happens, and you know, but you got to keep doing it, or we're going to, you know, go bowling.
You're right, Fred, because
so
I think that
Super
if they
in Green Bay, you're set for life.
If Belichick were to retire after this year and they go on a, you know, 5-year run where they don't make the playoffs,
yeah,
I think you're right back where you started.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think this is a football crazy area, even though right now the ratings and everything that they do Patriots related is record setting. I think it's all based on the winning.
It's not a committed fandom.
But what about the theory that it's like generational that. And that the people growing up now
that could be
could pr- it will be a football town
it
in 20
be.
Years,
yeah.
15 years when all these young people that all they know is winning.
Right. Right.
That could be.
Is there going to be a passion in
them?
But
it seems like certain parts of the country stay the same no matter over time, no matter what. You know what I mean? Like they very rarely change.
But I think this would be one this could be a landmark. I mean 3 Super Bowls in a short period of time that can change things
My
dramatically.
My question would be is how fanatic are the 49er fans. Like, remember when they were good?
Yeah.
I couldn't go out of the house without seeing someone with a 49er jacket. And they're way in San Francisco. But their fan right. base was enormous.
Yeah.
And then they hit the skids. I couldn't find a 49er fan now if I...
Yeah, it's not like Chicago, Green Bay, you know. They're different.
I'm just wondering if...
Cleveland.
If you have to have, like, that early tradition for it to last. Once the new tradition dies... So does
you have to grow up interest. Being taught it by your dad or whatever.
Because I think once the Patriots, if what Paul says happens,
yeah.
I think you go back to the Red Sox.
See, was your father a Patriot fan?
No, he was a Giants fan.
So was mine.
Well, that's
a Giants fan.
But that's Andy's point, though, is
right now you're getting
your generational.
Right.
There's nobody.
A lot of wackos out there with kids that are right. having parties that are watching every Sunday's game.
Yeah,
every
right.
being the
you know, I was born
Brady.
In '68, right? You know, I know Andy likes to take a shot. Well, it's a bad time for you to take a shot. You got to go to the bathroom, but you're missing an opportunity.
1968?
Nobody.
According to one of our emailers, Paul was in Vietnam.
Nobody born before me. I mean, nobody born after me certainly ever had any Giants thing.
Right.
You know, like that. That was like our fathers. And I know my father was a big Giants fan. My grandfather was a huge Giants fan. That's the team they had to root for. Now, nobody grows up in that. And Andy's point about it being generational. I don't think it'll ever go back to as bad as it was, say, in the early 90s,
right.
no matter what happens.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll ever get a situation where you have 20,000 people in a 68,000-seat stadium.
Unless Kraft buys a team and the next owner is some idiot.
Sells yeah. the team, yeah. I don't see that, though.
Rodrigo writes in, now I have to say that Bill has had way too much luck in his career to not have
luck.
A deal with the luck, to not have a deal with the devil. But my theory is that he has been so lucky that he has had to give up more than just himself.
I agree.
I think that Troy Brown, Bruschi, Vrabel, Harrison, Brady, and now even Samuel have joined Bill in his agreement. There would have been more, but Branch and Vinatieri thought it wasn't worth it. Heck, even Dan Klecko thought it was a bad idea, and look where it got him. P.S.
Sure
I'll be happy to buy you guys some lunch. Just send me an email giving me the order and the name and number of the joint, a.k.a. Fred's Happy Place. I don't know what that means.
Wow. You have a happy place, Fred?
Any place where there's food.
You're lucky Andy wasn't here. This guy just offered to buy us lunch. He said, just give us the address. I think he wants to kill us, to be honest with you.
That's one Patriot place.
Jay in Tampa.
That. We don't need it today.
No, we're all set today. We had our grillers.
But next Wednesday, we'll have that.
What about Tuesday?
I meant Tuesday. Sorry.
We're going to need our nutrition next week because it's going to be a lot of work getting prepared.
Oh, yeah.
Jay in Tampa, you keep saying no one thinks the Colts could win.
Oh.
On NFL.com, 41...
Can we get past this?
We've realized the
podcast. I've admitted I was wrong. Everything I saw last week...
To be fair,
they're
listening to the
right.
podcast
it,
late.
This is Fred's fault.
Yeah, the latency.
But why is it my fault?
Because if I was hosted, I would stop reading those emails because it's obviously...
I stopped reading it, all right?
Andy, if you've listened to the podcast, you've heard us say this throughout the...
No, but if the guy's listening to Wednesdays, if he's behind and all, you know, he's on a flight right now and he's listening to Wednesdays, I don't know.
I would think if you listened to Wednesday, you'd know that we all admitted that we were wrong.
Well, whatever day Tom went on his rant, if he listens
to that,
if he's behind,
The guy's behind that far. He doesn't like us enough.
Right, well, that's realization. That's my point. Yeah, I mean.
Andrew writes in, he's from Western New York. He says, my confidence in the Pats
Poor
is
bastard.
Great. Brady will flourish in the RCA Dome. Dylan will pound the ball and rough up the defense, and Maroney will break out for some big gains. On the other side of the ball, the Pats defense will hopefully get some big turnovers. The way the Pats play in the red zone, I see the Colts getting stopped when they lose their passing room. My prediction is Patriots win over the Colts by at least a touchdown, like 31-34, 24-31, I don't know. He's got Colts 24, Pats 31/34, something like that. If the Patriots play the Saints, they will be the underdogs and the enemy, and this will drive them.
They won't
them.
Be the underdogs.
I don't think so.
They,
there's
listen,
no way. You know, unless I'm going to be shocked again, there's
team.
No way that the Patriots would
that's
be
a,
the underdogs
that's
to the
touchdown.
Saints.
That's a
right.
touchdown.
But everybody
favorite.
Be rooting
the Saints have
for
never
the
been
Saints.
There before. They yes. got a rookie coach.
That's a big line you know, right there.
Yeah.
Underdog maybe like with the people.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Saints will be the
I think
team
if you're not a Patriots fan, you're going to root for the
yeah,
Saints.
Everybody will be.
All right.
Who was that?
Andrew.
Well, Andrew, I don't really care about your analysis of the game. Tell me how you get through living in Western New York, because that's a miserable, miserable place.
Okay.
That's, well, I'm from Central
that's
New
Lake
York.
That's Lake Champlain, right?
Yeah, but I'm like from Central New
Buffalo.
York, and I've
Western New York,
I've,
is Buffalo.
I've made the noose up a couple of times to hang myself. I can only imagine what it's like in that Western New York, because I've never seen the sun there, and I've been there like 7 times.
Let's
it was
see.
Sunny one time, I think, we went to Buffalo,
and
then
yeah, and the
8 years.
Lost 31.
That was a 31-0 game.
Let's see. Matthew is from Fort Worth, Texas. He said Fred Kircher's new hit single is I Have a Feeling. He licks his finger and holds it out to the wind. On NFL, he goes through all the people who are
okay.
picking the Colts. His
that.
Choice is New England, although I'll be rooting like crazy for the Bears in the early game. Hopefully God's team doesn't make it. And Tom, say it once for me. The fat man is here, and we're stuck in the chair. Sorry, Fred, but I'm assuming you don't have the weight paranoia as much as your peons rib you about it. He's not talking about me.
Paul's the fat man. Paul leaves.
When I leave, I'm the fat man.
When you're here, you're
originally
still the fat
man. Newman was the fat
but that's
man.
That's when he
Seinfeld.
Says it, is what my point yeah, is.
Although Fred is working at his best to catch Paul.
But I got to say, you know,
I'm working on it.
I saw you yesterday. You tried the baked Lay's head, too, left the bag, and moved on.
I had a half a bag, by the way. I didn't even finish it.
Yeah, I saw that. You left it
you
here
didn't
on
like
the table.
Them.
Right.
I have to say, though, as I was watching you three shove hot dogs in your mouth.
I had a sausage.
Or sausage. You guys, you're not as fat as you should be. From what I see week in and week out, you guys are actually in pretty good shape.
I agree with that.
I just think Andy's the only one that's in much better shape than he
but
has any
right to
be.
But the way you eat, you should be 300
yeah,
pounds.
Andy's in his 20.
You eat a lot.
I'm
out
67
a lot.
Years old.
And I'm saying, for the
but
way
I don't
you
eat,
you don't
lot.
Look as bad as
I don't eat
funny
that often.
For.
That's I mean, why.
You guys look as well
I
as I do when
food.
You're 67.
That's why I'm fat.
Then, you know.
I will.
Just because you look like you're 67 doesn't mean you
I
are.
I won't be alive, but.
You're on the other end of that spectrum. You're like 42 and you look like you're 100.
Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa. I wanted to let Fred know that I listened to the Colts podcast from last week, and it was terrible compared to yours. It was short, boring, and they only have them on Fridays. Well,
sounds
I,
like a roster report.
I got to, you know, in defense of my friends from the Colts, who I do know and I am friends of.
And
they
buying
just don't,
a steak.
They don't get the resources that we get. I mean, they don't have a radio studio. And,
Jimmy doesn't let them do stuff.
You know, three writers from their newspaper. Jimmy. They don't even have a newspaper.
Thank you, Ron.
You don't
think,
have
Fred,
no.
Do you think the stuff like that, like hurts like interest in the team, like when you're trying to find like stuff to, like not everybody is us who knows the score of games from 12 years ago. Some people are new fans and they're trying right. to get into the game and stuff. And if you don't have those resources, you think that kind of hurts?
It does. It doesn't help. I mean, and this does help.
Now,
you know,
proof is in the pudding. Will they have more of that when they build this new Lucas Oil Field and
I don't know
open up the luxury
I don't know.
And,
wow,
that's what it's called, right?
I think it is
rolling the dice.
I don't
I'm
know.
I'm calling it the RCA Dome.
But that's not, you know.
I still call it the Hoosier
yeah,
Dome.
Yeah, the Hoosier Dome.
Let's put it this way. If
Pro
this,
Player
if this,
Stadium.
If this was the Colts.
Joe Robbie Stadium.
Okay. Chris Ferreira would be doing the show. He'd be also the webmaster. He'd be taking photos and updating the site. That's how they do it out there. And that's not their no. fault. That's ownership.
I agree. Jimmy's not putting the proper
not
resources
getting it done.
In.
Let's see.
Jimmy likes Elaine.
Thank you, Robert.
Tom says, no, Josh says, Tom for president and Fred for chief of staff. Wow, I get demoted. I have to
Boy, would
you.
This country be done.
An update.
It'd be, it'd be a hell of a week, though.
Fred would say, I got a feeling, and Tom would push the button.
Right. Hell of a week. I'd give it 24 hours.
You're hot, Fred. I trust your feelings.
See you, Korea. Boom.
An update on the national picks. Sean Salisbury has the Pats right. and Colts.
Told
facing
you.
The Bears and Saints. Maybe he thinks it's a Pro Bowl-type format. Get off the fence. Andrew Sassolano from Fox Sports Radio picks the Saints and Colts because it has the best storylines with the Mannings and all that's happened to the Saints. Hey, great analysis about the game. They do talk to Rodney every week, although I missed him this week. He has Chris Myers convinced he was going to play this week.
Fox Sports Radio?
Yeah. I don't know.
Rodney has a weekly radio thing that I knew nothing about?
It may be just...
I've never heard Fox Sports Radio.
But the only time
life,
we ever
so.
Get Fox Sports Radio is late
yeah,
night
after the game.
On the week on Saturdays. Oh,
is that
on
Sunday
Sundays,
night after the game.
After, like,
on EEI.
Even
is
after
where
the
I listen
night.
To Chris Landry? The former scout? Isn't that his name, Chris Landry?
Yeah, I believe you're right.
He wanted to write for us at one time.
Yeah, I actually...
I was advised not to use him.
I still have a number for him. For that.
Really?
Yeah.
How come?
I don't know the details.
I mean, if you're going to bring it up on the air, we might as well keep going.
Since it seems that food is the way to the five of your hearts,
no question.
I guess he's including Gary in there, I have a proposal. If you come and meet my wife at the game this week and the Pats win, in celebration, I will send you guys pizza one day next week. Gary, you got to keep these emails because this is two now.
Who's this?
This is Josh.
What's his wife look like?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Sawyer?
He's not asking us to have sex with her. He just wants us to meet
her. Then I don't want to meet her.
All right. We are in 311, row 24, seats 5 and 6. It is supposed to be the row. Well, when you capitalize both.
Why?
He can't even read.
He capitalizes both letters.
Make sure you go to the PHE store.
Well, in my world, IT is information technology, you know.
In my world, you're an idiot.
It is supposed to be the row directly in front of the press box.
Oh, then we'll just lean out because it's open. And we'll say,
we have an
Josh!
I'm sure she will have her Brewski jersey on and will have a long sleeve blue tee and a blue hat. Okay, we'll look for you guys.
Wait, Brewski lady in a blue hat right in front of us.
Okay. So they are both going to be there.
Section 311.
Yeah, I don't know why he doesn't want us to meet him.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering all about.
That was why I was asking.
All right, Gary, let's take a break right now. We've got a lot more emails. We'll be right back.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really?
That much. Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house. Even when I'm at the movies, it happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Well, just hold me in, just like I was Eddie Harris. Eating crazy cheese like you would make up my parents. You know I get far, you think I get high. You know that I'm born and I'm gonna tell you all why. Tell me, are you missing?
Late night.
Maybe I'm missing the reason that you're smiling.
We're back, PFW in progress.
I think we're moving back.
It's a late
back,
night.
Moving back to the middle chair.
We're going over our Saturday plans.
If we get invited to an AFC Championship game party.
Right, which I doubt.
If not, the Alcatraz Brewing Company in
India. Hey, Gary, I downloaded Ryman and Steelin' last night after you played it. This I already got. I already got this on.
He also, right. Also has, what is it? How many Ice Ice Baby songs, no Ice songs you have? Just
one.
That one?
Yeah. He's only, what's the other one? He only has one song.
No, he had a second hit.
What was that, Beastie Boys?
Yeah.
Didn't he have another hit?
If he did, I don't remember it.
Gary, could you tell me what his second most popular song was all time?
All right. Webradio at patriots.com. It's the email address. 508-543-7482 is
play
the phone number.
Play that funky music.
Play that funky music.
All right.
He sang that, too?
So. TG writes in. I'm surprised we haven't heard from some Homer Pats fans like Fred make the point that Manning couldn't make it back to the AFC Championship game on his own. It took the ex-Patriot kicker Vinatieri to get him there. If the Colts win the AFC Championship game on a Vinatieri field goal, should we expect this type of explanation from certain disgruntled Pats fans? The Patriots and the Colts can't win without Vinatieri.
Yes.
Some might say that Vinatieri will have made Manning and Dungy winners like he made Belichick
say,
and Brady.
You won't have to look far to get that analysis.
Right,
it's right. Going to be right here.
Right here on everythingbutpatriots.com.
Can I ask you a totally unrelated question?
What?
Out of curiosity, play that funky music, white boy.
I'm sure someone else sang it before him.
Yeah.
Is that the first you ever heard of it?
No, I don't think so.
That's Average White Band, or what was who
Wild,
did
Wild
that?
Cherry.
Wild Cherry.
Average White Band, what's that?
That's another 70s band.
You're allowed
you don't
to
know
just
it
be openly racist back then?
Yeah.
Average White Band?
Where is the racism in that? Did they say, we hate everybody else? That's racism.
It's just kind of playing up to your audience a little bit. Some Southerner sees that, he goes, we'll try them out.
If the Colts win and the
that
Saints...
That wasn't racist, though.
Yeah. Right.
If the Colts win and the Saints
no
win,
to all
think
you
about
Southerners.
It. Manning finally gets to the Super Bowl, and everybody is rooting against him. Poor guy can't get a break. That would be kind of
that
funny.
Is funny. Yeah. If he does make the Super Bowl, and if it's the Bears, everyone will root for Manning. And if it's the Saints, everyone will root for the Saints.
Do you agree that if it's the Bears and Patriots, that everybody will be rooting for the Patriots? I mean the Bears?
Yeah.
Just I think no matter what, they'll be rooting against the Patriots.
Just for that whole same theory.
Yep. That, and I think there are some people who literally just don't like the Patriots, regardless of the winning.
But Chicago is one of those franchises that...
And you're going to hear a lot of Lovie Smith,
African-American
coach, we want him to win.
Unless you're Green Bay, and you have that... fierce rivalry against Chicago. You probably won't be rooting for Chicago from Green Bay, but everybody else, I bet, would be rooting for the Bears.
Fred, have you seen Talladega Nights?
No, not really. I mean, it was playing on the plane. I didn't watch it, really.
I saw it this week. It's not very funny.
No.
Not very good, but there's a part in there where when he's all successful and the team owner, every time he talks to him before he takes a shot at the team owner, he goes, with all due respect. It's just like Parcells. And the team owner goes, not everything you say after with all due respect is respectful and okay.
Right.
Let's
best
see.
Part of the movie.
TG finally says, I just want to know, can we run the ball on the Colts this weekend?
Yes.
Can and will.
There you go.
I think you're going to be able to do whatever you want against the Colts defense.
Dylan and Maroney, 36 carries for 177 yards. Book it.
Michael Ciccone has some endings that might happen, possible ironic outcomes of the game. One, a key penalty on the Colts secondary for illegal contact beyond 5 yards keeps the Patriots' drive going in the final 2 minutes of the first half.
That's very likely.
We got two, no Alanis Morissette. I thought for sure Gary would be chiming in.
Two, in an unprecedented move, the competition committee votes in an emergency meeting to repeal the emphasis on illegal contact during halftime of the game. Three, Patriots win again despite a good game by Manning played in Indy with no weather or sloppy field excuses. Four, Bill Polian wearing a Colts AFC champion sweatshirt pushes the photographer to the ground moments after Gostkowski kicks the game-winning field goal. Five, in a rate and uncontrollable, Polian punches a Colts staff worker trying to restrain him from attacking the officials as they leave the field. And six, Polian calls the Patriots classless as some team members are found kneeling on the Colts logo at midfield for a post-game prayer.
I like the part about Polian calling him classless, though.
Yeah.
What I said was, I thought the officials did a tremendous job.
The Patriots.
The Patriots deserve to win.
I still think the ultimate irony is they win the Super Bowl, but Manning throws 15 picks over the course of this postseason, and he's still the loser. He's, even when he wins, he's a loser.
Nick in San Diego, I'm still glowing from Sunday. I hope you guys are too. I was watching Inside the NFL today and noticed that Chris Collinsworth picked the Pats because he says that Peyton needed a perfect, unbelievable game last time to win, and he doesn't see him doing it again. I totally agree with that. I think we win by 10 to 14 points in a start-to-finish drubbing. They also showed a stat of who picked. Did Manning have an unbelievable perfect game last time they played?
He played very well in both of those games.
Yeah.
Yes. Pretty good. Not perfect, but he played very well in both of those games that they won.
They also showed a stat of who picked against the Pats in their 12-1 playoff record. Out of the 13 games, Marino has picked against us 7 times and did again for this weekend. I am not sorry for you or Carter, Dan. I would take Elway over you any day. I see what he's saying there. Also, I was trying to get a handle on Asante. Does a Super Bowl win help us keep players, or like the 03 and 04 years, does a win send them out to a buyer's market? I don't really care about other free agents, although Tully Bannacane has been showing a definite improvement in the last few games. Can we possibly keep Asante?
Possibly?
Sure.
Sure.
Anything's possible.
I think it's going to be unlikely. And it's interesting, we had a poll last week of the Patriots' potential unrestricted free agents. And I put in Daniel Graham, Asante Samuel, Tully Bantacan, and I added Troy Brown because he was about the next biggest name among the guys that are up. Which one of those is most likely to remain? And I was very surprised. Over 40% of the vote went to Asante Samuel. It's most likely to remain.
Really?
And
in terms of the question, either way, they're going out into a buyer's, plenty of money. There's going to be a bidding war. I don't know that it really matters whether the Patriots win the Super Bowl or not. The whole landscape of the salary cap has teams with tens and tens of millions of dollars to play with.
Yeah, winning or losing the Super Bowl, I don't think really has much to do with Asante Samuel. I mean, I suppose he could go out this week and really get torched. You know, like one of those Darren Williams games against Denver when the Colts were playing. Colts.
Darren Williams
this year when Reggie Wayne just killed him in Denver. One of those games where it's clear that they had one matchup they wanted to exploit, and I don't think that's going to happen. I think they'll be throwing more at Ellis Hobbs, but I think you could lose some money in a case like that.
And that's just him. That's not really the team winning or losing. That's him winning or losing a matchup.
I got to be honest with you. When Andy said he wanted me to do the 5 keys to victory for the web, I started thinking about it, and I believe that will be the Colts' game plan coming in, is find Ellis Hobbs and throw at him. Mm-hmm. That's what I think they're going to do.
I think it's a good one.
They've done a very good job of it too lately.
Harrison overall, like when their both careers are over, will probably be a much better receiver than Reggie Wayne. But right now, as we speak in the present, they're pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a Samuel on Wayne or on Harrison, you got a big mismatch with Wayne and Hobbs, and I think that's what they're going to try to exploit.
And you got to think Harrison would put his ego aside for a change and accept it if Reggie Wayne is catching more balls in the AFC Championship game and not pout about it.
That just goes to show you don't always have to be a talker to be
a baby.
Yeah.
Jackie is in Dallas. She says, I'm a Pats fan. I moved to Dallas a few years ago.
What was that, Tom?
And listening to
that
you
was
on
a fist pump that you didn't even know you couldn't hear.
Geez, look at these guys, Fred. Can you believe them?
Yeah, unbelievable.
They just want everyone to hate everything about the Patriots,
right.
Don't they?
Yep, absolutely.
what does that mean?
Yeah. Fred just keeps going.
That was worse than Fred. You know, when Fred just changes the argument in the middle, that was worse than that.
And listening to you on the web keeps me in touch with my team in New England. I can tell you that part of my work group is located in San Diego. They had a bad week last week. They text me all the time, all during the game until the last 2 seconds, but I had a great week this week. Most of the San Diego people are still in shock and can't believe they lost. But as for this next game, I'm getting nervous. Everyone outside of New England seems to be picking the Colts. Mostly I hear things like everything is aligned for the Colts to win. They have the kicker. They have the home field.
Idiots. All good analysis.
Idiots like right. Mike Felger.
Yeah, their defense has fixed all their problems. I don't believe this one. And there is no way Peyton can lose this game. He is due. Paul. Does this
all of that is what I've been saying. Right. That's the people that pick the Colts. I think it's Peyton Manning's time.
Does this attitude become something the Pats can use as a world against us theme? Oh, yeah. What kind of pressure does this put on Manning, and how do you think he will handle it? I think he won't handle it.
Yeah, I can go back to the Tennessee-Nebraska game if you want to go that far, and I'll show you how he handles pressure. I mean, that's the problem with me, Fred. It's not one game. It's if you take his whole, from college to now, it's every time he ends up with that stupid look on his face. And you just, when you see that look as fans, you just say, you know, that guy's a loser. And I don't know. Maybe he gets over the hump, but like I said, until him and Dungy prove to me they can do it, I'm not picking him.
Here's another example. NFL.com, heartbreak ahead with a question mark. Peyton Manning on one side and Rex Grossman on the other with their heads down.
Right.
Another example of the lack of respect that the Patriots get nationally.
Well, and to take it further, I mean,
they're predicting another heartbreaking loss.
You read the Boston Herald, and that idiot Felger has the matchups. He gives 6 to the Patriots.
What's it going to take to get him in?
2
here?
To the Colts, and 1 is a wash, but he picks the Colts. So he gives the Patriots 6 out of 9 matchups, but he likes the Colts.
Well, the same thing with Borges. I was reading his analysis, and it was all Patriots. And then he picks the Colts.
Where?
Although I will defend him. A lot of people have been getting on him for making the coaching matchup even. He wasn't saying the head coach matchup. He was saying, I think, the whole staff.
Well,
but still think it's stupid.
Still wrong and still.
Because these coaches have learned from Belichick.
It's an obvious
by
attempt.
By default, they're better.
It's an obvious attempt to tweak.
I don't know. I like that big guy on the Colts staff. The really big guy. No.
Oh, the other guy?
There's like a 500-pounder there, defensive line coach. I like him.
P.S., just be glad you don't have to listen to local news talk about the two drama queens here in Dallas, Parcells and T.O.
Tom would like to.
No, I wouldn't. I think they should both be gone.
Let's see. Mark is in Ohio. He says he's a tired and disheartened Pats fan in Ohio. He says he lives 85 miles from the Indy and went to every game there from 87 until the last meeting at 03. I stayed up all night as to not oversleep for a chance to get a few tickets. I thought I got lucky and got a Ticketmaster, or he calls them Ticket Monster, representative at the number from your website. As the Pats in the past, and like I found out Carolina from last year, the tickets can only be sold to Indiana residents and those in Louisville, Kentucky. Ohio is not included, as I assume Massachusetts was not. This policy stunk when the Pats in Carolina did it, and it stinks from the Colts. Why can the NFL take revenues in the billions for national TV but leave a lifelong Patriots fan 85 miles away to be outpriced for eBay and brokers? Please just let someone who can do something about these things know my plight.
That's Fred Kirsch.
In this case, though, I can't blame the Colts or the Chargers for doing that.
Well, that's the other thing. It's not a league, right?
It's not a league thing. It's a team thing.
I'll be honest, I don't really have a problem with it.
I don't either. I'm all for giving my fans the first crack at it. And if I can't sell them by then I open it up. But let my fans have a first crack at my tickets.
Right.
You know, because it's so easy. There's people from all over the world that figured out ways to get those tickets electronically faster. Why give them an advantage?
Plus, yeah, and unfortunately for people like the person that just wrote in, it's what you said, Fred. There's people who take advantage of the system, and now it's ruining it for everybody.
Right.
Plus, at least if people are going to resell them, at least it'll be Indiana people reselling them. You could have some guy in Europe bid on the tickets, get the tickets, and immediately put them on some other website just to sell them and make some money.
Right. There's more of a chance that someone who buys them are going to use them if they're sold locally.
Right.
So I, because I know there'll be a day someday probably when the Patriots will do the same thing. So if I criticize the Chargers or Colts, I'll, you know.
Oh, so you really don't believe it. You're just covering your
ass. No, I would do that. In other words, I would do that. If I were the Crafts, or I would limit it to my local.
The Patriots are going to do it.
Well.
Soon.
Let's see. Sean McLaughlin.
Too many Jets fans at that playoff game the other day.
Subject, PFW staff too overconfident, he asks.
No.
I've listened to the show for years, and I've been listening to the podcast this week. I have never seen the staff so confident on a win. You guys might
be. Is that true?
I think so.
That might be
unanimously.
That might be an accurate statement.
In a big game against a good team. Against a good team, I think this is the most confident we've ever been. I mean, Lions, forget about that. But against a good team.
No, in the playoffs. You know, like you said, a good team advancing in the playoffs. I can't remember us being so universal.
You guys might be the only one. The Mickey Mouse Network all loves the Colts, with the exception of Eric Allen and Joey Theismann.
That Allen
guy. I just don't feel as confident as you guys. You said early in the week, who is the pressure on? Well, it's on the Pats, on the road, in that dome, playing a good Colts team. I don't care what happened at the end of the season. I think they have been flying under the radar. I just fear that this game will come down to a field goal, and we will have to watch the other guy kick a winning one. I don't feel as confident as you guys, but the Pats running game needs to step up, and if it doesn't, I do know the Pats won't go Herm or Billick on us. I was picking the Colts at the beginning of the week because I felt this was the Colts' time, Paul, and they have been under the radar for the last part of the year. But the more I think, I'm going to live and die with Brady and Belichick. Pats 28, Colts 17, and the show returns next week. It's time to get rid of the promo. Some guy named Tom Casale's full name, deserves to be on the marquee. He has been a great addition.
Thank you, Sean. But the one thing I'll say is we've given plenty of reasons why we think the way we think. We've given you the red zone defense. We've given you all kinds of stuff. So if we're wrong, at least we gave you the reason. We're not just picking it because we work for the Patriots and we want to go to the Super Bowl.
I'll even give you the reasons why I think some people might want to pick the Colts, and I think that's the wide receiver secondary matchup.
Yes.
That right there.
Start getting big plays
early. I haven't
heard
too many people say that.
Big plays early on, Wayne for 60.
Right.
And then, you know, then things start rolling. You get Freeney and Mathis off the edge.
All of a sudden, James Sanders looks like James Sanders against the Broncos, and he's trying to chase down a receiver that just beat Ellis Hobbs, and it's a touchdown.
Right.
Dave.
Or we can just ask Felger. I'm sure he'll tell us why the Colts will win. I think the Colts will win.
ESPN.
Dave writes in, today on ESPN's Cold Hard Facts, Mark Schlereth said, offense doesn't win championships. Defense doesn't win championships. Teams win championships. And right now, the Colts are playing the best team in football. That's his Einsteinian theory. So then why did he pick the Colts?
Because he's saying they're the best team. He's not saying they're playing the best team.
The way he has it, he says it right
as
now.
A team,
well, yeah, he didn't write it then correctly.
I don't think he meant they're playing against the best team.
Okay, they're playing as.
But
the best
I didn't see it, so maybe I shouldn't. Really
How are they playing the best team in football? How can Peyton flopping in the D facing crappy offenses make the great team football? I don't get this national media slam. My old high school JV team could shut down Trent Green and Fat McNair. I'm up to my neck in everything I hear these experts say. However, as a Patriots fan, I have a calming sense over me because of the Belichick environment we are cultivated in. I realize it just comes down to what goes on between the lines. You can talk and talk and talk and analyze all you want, but win or lose, it won't matter what anyone says, only what is done on the field. That's from Dave in Barr, Vermont.
Well, Dave, we got some good news for you. You don't have to wait for the national media slam because we got some local media slam coming for you. Mike Felger here.
What
are you saying?
The guy who wrote in the Boston Herald that he gave the Patriots 6 out of 9 matchups, but is picking the Colts. Yeah, you like to explain yourself, Mike?
It's a tricky thing. It's
those three matchups are so overwhelming.
Well, let me ask you, and this I think sums it up. Who has a better secondary?
Who has the best
Patriots.
Secondary?
That's a wash.
Okay, but who's going to have a harder day?
Well, I don't know.
Well, the point is that I'm just supposed to
rank the Patriots' defense overall better.
But my point is this. I'm supposed to rank the Patriots' secondary against the Colts' secondary just in a vacuum.
But that doesn't work.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the point is, I think that the Pats' secondary could play worse because of who they're playing. You see what I'm saying? But they didn't want that sort of matchup. They just wanted to know. So it's sort of useless in a fashion.
It is.
So
why do you like the Colts?
The why do I like the Colts?
Play each other.
Because I don't think the Pats will be able to cover them, even though they have a better
so
secondary.
You think their offense is just going to bomb them through the air, and it's going to be too much for the Patriots to keep up with them?
It's pretty much what happened the last two games, yeah.
All right.
I do.
I just want to...
I do think that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
But, I mean, am I going to go to the grave with that and bet the mortgage
Brady,
on it? No.
Is Brady going to have four interceptions this game?
I wouldn't be surprised if he struggled.
Okay, well, that's what they're going to need to beat the Patriots.
Why?
Because they needed it at that time, and they only won by a touchdown last game.
Do they need it?
Yeah.
Do they score a lot of those points off of those turnovers?
It doesn't matter. It stopped Patriots drives.
Well, you said interceptions. You can stop them a lot of different
Patriots
ways.
Stop Patriots drives.
All right.
Right.
Do I think they'll stop Patriots drives all day? No, I think they'll stop enough.
Just to play devil's advocate, you know who I think is going to win. Do you think Adam Vinatieri is going to miss two field goals inside of 40 yards?
No, but
yes.
That's 6 points.
I do. Not inside of 40.
But then it's not a 7-point game.
13.
I think he's missing, though.
Do you think the Colts are going to turn the ball over
twice?
The
Patriots aren't going to score field goals. They're going to score touchdowns.
But my point is, you can't just say the Patriots aren't going to turn the ball over. The Colts turned the ball over in that game, and they missed field goals by a guy who didn't miss field goals all year.
Everything except the Patriots.com.
I said it was devil's advocate.
I know.
Does everyone here expect the Patriots to win?
Everyone? Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Big.
I do.
I'm just not going to go with Dungy and Manning in a big game over Brady and Belichick until they showed me that they can get it done.
I know.
The Chargers were the best team on that field.
I know.
And they lost.
I know. Believe me. I know. So I don't feel good about it
for the rest of the show.
I don't feel good about it.
I think that the Colts defense, I'm not sold on the whole resurrection of the Colts defense
neither
here.
Am I.
I think they played two very limited offenses. One of which played extremely badly in Baltimore. Yeah. I thought McNair was really, really bad.
Let me ask you another question.
Says that, I'm confident the Colts are going to win. They're categorically, this is their time. The Pats don't have a chance. Are morons.
All right.
I mean, how do you feel that way against Brady and Belichick?
That's a great concession by you, Mike. But let me ask you a question. Are the Patriots a better offense than the one that played earlier in the season against the Colts?
I don't know if...
Oh, come on.
Well, I'll say this.
I mean, they're coming off of two good games, but
I think it is,
Fred.
But I don't think they're running the ball better than they were at that time.
Definitely not.
Just two good games? They didn't play well in Jacksonville?
No, they
Tennessee?
Did. No, you're right. Okay, fine. You're right. They're coming off a good month.
I don't think they played very well.
Brady is playing better with these receivers.
You think the offense?
A lot better than he was earlier.
I don't think the offense was great last week.
I was just going to say, you think the offense had a great game last week?
They made a half dozen good plays.
And Brady was terrible. Without the Chargers, they scored 10 points.
I think against that defense, they played pretty damn good.
Nah.
They scored when they had to.
They were situated, but they made a handful of good plays.
They had 14 points off of turnovers where they moved the ball a total of 35 yards.
I think against the Chargers, they played pretty damn good. That's a damn good team.
I'm surprised to hear you feel that way. It's really surprising.
he does it better than I do. He gets under your skin better than I do. And I didn't think anybody could ever do that.
All right. What else, Mike?
Well, I don't know. He started accosting me.
He just interrupted our show.
No, Tom just called me out.
You got anything to bring?
He's been calling you out for 25 minutes.
Yeah, here's my thing.
What's that doing in there?
We had this discussion. Andy had it. I was on this freaking cold pizza show a month ago, and they asked me, is this a Super Bowl team? Point blank. Gun to your head. I said no, because I didn't think they were capable of going four straight. Thank you. Four straight through the postseason playing the way you have to play. And so what, I changed my mind now because Chargers crapped their pants?
Haven't you seen something different?
I got the gun back out, Mike. So I got a gun to your head. It's loaded.
I'm sure it's not the first time.
Right. And it's loaded. And I'm saying you have to pick one of these teams or your life ends. Who are you putting your money on? Manning and Dungy or Brady and...
Well, that's different then, isn't it?
Well,
it's different.
That's what it comes down to.
So if your life's on the line, you pick the Patriots. But
otherwise,
not,
right.
the Colts.
See, now doesn't this prove my point, Fred, that
yes.
the people don't really think the Colts are going to win?
I agree.
It's just the whole it's Peyton's
they
time
want
nonsense.
The Colts to win.
And I don't really
I don't
think
it's a better story.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
Nationally. I mean, locally, that's
No, honestly, it's rooted in my true feelings about the Patriots.
But look at the other
but
teams.
Nothing's
that's
changed
what you're missing.
About the
I know,
Patriots.
I know.
None of the other teams are championship great Super Bowl teams either.
That's what makes it hard.
And we're not judging the Patriots against the 85 Bears or even the 04 Patriots. We're judging them against the current talent out there.
Mike,
the current competition.
The other part of it, Felgie, too, is if you felt like they really weren't as good as some of the other teams in the AFC, I think what you saw last week was you were probably right.
I mean,
You're probably right.
Yeah, but they won.
But
their
they won the game.
That was the game for them to lose.
That was the shot. To me, that was the shot. If you want to knock off the, you know, the supposed champ, whether it actually is the number one seed or not, that was your chance. You don't get another one.
Best case for being right is what you brought up the other day, that two of the last three playoff games, Tom Brady has not played well.
Yeah, I think there's a. I don't think it's a lock that he plays great.
I don't either. If that happens, they can lose.
Yeah. No, but
If Brady is sloppy again, like he was in San Diego, I don't think they win. I'm not going to be sitting here and say it doesn't matter how many times they turn the ball over.
And here's the formula, and I don't think it's outlandish. Colts are up by 7 or 10 early. Pats are passing. Matt Light, who played great last week, can't keep it together against Freeney. He's rushed. He makes a bad throw. Strip sack, something like that. Now you're looking at 14 points, and it changes
and
the whole thing.
All could happen.
That's
the scenario. The Colts win.
If you're the Colts,
you get up bigger.
If you're the Colts, you want to win the toss, go down and make it 7-0. Put up a 3-and-out.
Well,
go down and make it 14.
You guys, I mean,
they won it last. San Diego won it last week.
Now you know they're not good.
That broke the string.
The devil was asleep again.
The Colts offense is, still sick. I mean, it's still really good.
Those five field goals were tremendous.
But you know what?
It's the best defensive team in the league right there. On the road with 2 weeks off. That was a great performance.
See, I agree with you. I thought the Colts offense played better last week than it's given credit for.
Absolutely. That's a huge win.
And I thought they did exactly what they had to do in a game that they were dominating against Kansas City.
They knew they didn't have to score last week.
That doesn't excuse Peyton Manning throwing five interceptions.
You guys tell me why you dismissed the last two regular season games.
I don't.
Dismiss them?
I didn't dismiss them.
Which two?
Well, why don't you play?
I'll say this. I dismissed the 2005 one because half of the guys that were on the field aren't here anymore.
Starks and Gay were the two.
Oh, you mean against the Colts?
Yeah.
I don't dismiss it. But
I don't dismiss the one that happened in November.
I mean, I still don't think Samuel can cover either guy.
I don't think that either one of those guys can
cover.
This is a big game for Samuel. This is a big game for him. Because
the game is on the offensive line.
On the Texans. But you need to show that you can cover guys like Wayne and Harrison if
absolutely.
You want that 15.
I
got to
be honest with you.
Bonus.
I don't think that they showed that they could cover the Chargers wide receivers.
Absolutely
last week.
Not.
You know, if either one of those guys caught the ball, that's a whole different game.
Absolutely.
I don't think they did anything to take away those receivers
or get their freaking feet down.
Didn't even try.
So Paul likes the Colts?
No, I think the Patriots' offense is going to win the game. I don't really think the Colts are going to get shut down the way they have. Here in the past in the playoffs, because I think the weather had a lot to do with that. But I think the Patriots will score, and eventually Manning will make mistakes.
See,
I have my faith in Brady. I think you could play defense differently when it's a blizzard out and there's 30-mile-an-hour winds. You can cut off half the field because you can't throw the ball there.
I don't think that was it.
I think it was a big part of it. You can crowd the receivers. You had Rodney Harrison playing in the slot.
You can't throw
whacking
deep.
Whacking Marvin Harrison.
They never even tried in that one game until the last
up.
Play of the game.
Because you couldn't.
The Pats move the ball okay, those guys.
Yeah, but they didn't throw the ball. They don't play the same way. They don't play offense the same way.
Yeah.
Corey Dillon had a monster game in 2004.
I thought it was more personnel. Ty Law can play bump and run.
It has something to do with it.
And I thought
that's something to do with it.
And I thought the 0-3 game, it was before they started really, you know, focusing on the contact in the secondary. I mean, Roman Pfeiffer absolutely destroyed Marcus Pollard on plays he would have been called on 10 times out of 10 now.
And you also would say that despite, you want to talk about what happens when you turn the ball over, people forget this because it's so long ago. That 24-14 game, everything went wrong for the Colts in the first three quarters of that game, and they still were within one score in the fourth quarter, and Vinatieri had to put it away with a field goal. Right after a play that was originally ruled a fumble by Brady, if you remember, and it was definitely down by contact. It was the right call. But he got spun out on a rollout, and he fumbled. That could have been a huge – that game was a close game. The 2004 one was not a close game. The 20-3 game, they completely just dominated defensively from start to finish. But Manning threw four picks in that game in 2003 and yet still had his team in position to tie in the fourth quarter.
I just think the Pats are flawed from a championship level. I'm not saying they're a flawed team, Fred, that they're a bad team.
Is there any team in the NFL not flawed?
Right.
Okay.
You're right. Well, that's why we think the Patriots are going to win.
I mean,
to deny that is...
But nobody's denying the Patriots are flawed, but are they any more flawed than their opponents, or are they less flawed than their opponents?
Yeah, I think they've got to be more flawed. I mean, I do.
So you like the Colts offense. You think that that's the dominant thing in this game, and that's what's going to win it.
Yeah.
And okay. I can buy that argument.
And also the Pats offense is more inconsistent than people are giving it credit for. Inconsistent. I mean, they should have lost that game by two scores last week. I mean, legitimately should have. And
well, when that game was 14-3, it should have been
and
over.
And if they do, what are you
it
all saying this
over
week?
Over right there.
They couldn't get away with those receivers.
Well, we wouldn't be on the air this week because we'd be
playing,
done.
If they were playing someone other than the Colts, maybe I'd go against them.
I felt San Diego was a better team going in, and I maintained my feeling going out. I don't think that Indianapolis is a better team.
Yeah. And I'm just so – I mean, Tony Dungy, I just think he's going to have two or three things where you go, huh? You know, that's going to cost your team. He's a little Schottenheimer. I mean, that whole school. Herm, Dungy, Cower, Schottenheimer.
Why is that a school?
They're all from the same. They all sort of spun. They're spawn of Marty. They were all together in Kansas City. Cower was.
I didn't know that.
Cower was a defensive coordinator in Cleveland under Schottenheimer.
Well, I knew that, but I didn't know that.
That's the Schottenheimer school.
I didn't know that Dungy. Well, I suppose you're saying Dungy from Cower.
Dungy was on. Playing. I think Dungy was on the staff in Kansas City when Schottenheimer was there. Either that or he comes from Cower.
I also don't think that Dungy's as bad a coach as you do. But
well, he builds a good program. I think in-game I've seen him do things that are just bad coaching. Which was a playoff game where they did that direct snap play where Peyton Manning went under center and then barked out his signals, and when he was on the side of the line, they direct snapped it to James, brought it back.
But he was moving.
Illegal procedure because once a quarterback sets underneath the center, right, he can't go back in motion until he sets again. And they asked Tony about it after the game. He said, oh, I didn't know the rule. Well, can you imagine? I mean, they must have practiced the play all week. Can you imagine these guys running a play where they weren't sure of the rule? If it
wouldn't
was legal?
Happen.
And it wouldn't happen. So
like
Dungy.
Tom Brady, but I don't think block in Buffalo that could call
Dungy
back,
does those things.
Know the rule.
But I think from a team building,
I don't think that's anyone. I don't think that's an example that he's a bad coach. I think that's
a perfect
example.
Always a bad
I
coach.
I think that's an example of a bad play, and it was inexcusable that he didn't know the rule. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a good idea of how to put a game plan together. Is my point.
Yeah, and I don't think Marty Schottenheimer is a bad coach, but in the playoffs.
But I think it's a clear indication that he's a choker in the playoffs.
He's a puddle.
We said that before the game, and we said it after the game. And I made the comment to you, Tom, going into that game, I thought it was a huge advantage in coaching for the Patriots in that game, and I was completely wrong because it was so much bigger than huge. You couldn't even put it. You couldn't even equate it.
Just a wreck, big piece of jelly. Ugh, disgusting.
And I think when you have guys like that, your team.
Puke.
Your team recognizes that you have a guy like that that's in charge, and you play tight.
Yep, I agree.
And that's why Eric Parker drops 17 passes.
Does he suck
and
normally?
Muffed a punt. And that's why Vincent Jackson didn't even try to get his feet in bounds because he was nervous. And I think the team played tight, and they get that from the head coach.
Yeah. Matt from Southie writes in, and besides sending a Cadillac over here to put Andy in the trunk, he's going out to Indy. And he says he's looking for some places to good restaurant or
Saint
gin
Elmo's.
Mill
Saint
for Saturday
Elmo's.
Night. No, but I can tell you, I just heard from one of the Patriots fan clubs. They're organizing a big Patriots rally in the Hard Rock Cafe in Indianapolis.
But Saint Elmo's is better.
Yeah, if you're looking for food,
what was that?
We'll be sure to steer clear
fans,
of that puppy.
They're not the Patriots.
They're
the
organizing a rally.
Paul. Repeat after me. The fans, not the organization.
Organized.
By the way, I don't think the
Paul,
Chargers organized the Sean Merriman rally.
Paul,
it was a radio station and a bar.
Andy, don't let those kinds of facts get
that
in
had
way.
Nothing to
so
do with
Fred
the team.
Actually believes there's not planning for
it's,
Miami
the,
right now.
The
there's
team.
No planning
that,
for parades.
He thinks that it was Bush League
and neither
the Chargers,
did the Chargers
had a rally. And I said, well,
that
well,
rally
the
that everybody talks about was a radio station and a bar.
No, it was sanctioned by the team. They had players there. Ex-players.
It's San Diego.
But
what else?
That
they
doesn't.
Got?
I'm just
have
saying.
To do
players
with it.
There Patriots don't have rallies before divisional games.
But
not
the
anymore.
No.
What was that?
Just
what
the
was
AFC Championship.
What was that, Mike?
Not anymore.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's what
again,
I'm saying.
Again,
you got really mad at
welcome
me.
Welcome to everythingbut.patriots.com starring Paul Perillo.
It wasn't enough that I think
my
the Patriots
team,
are a lock.
My team has to be absolutely vanilla. You know. Can't show any, you know,
pride. Well, I don't know why
and, you know,
we get this attitude from Paul on this show, but I do still listen to EEI, and I don't. You're neutered.
Funny, this never comes out, does it?
You're like a dog never. Without nuts on that
are
show.
Are you calling him a fraud? Are you calling him a fraud?
Yeah, a little bit.
True.
I mean, what are you afraid of?
Did you hear me Wednesday? I got killed on the Weiner line Wednesday because I was saying some stuff about
I haven't
San
heard the
Diego.
Word Weiner line in a year and a half. I miss it.
All
I
right.
Haven't,
well.
But,
see, you have your own gig now. You don't listen anymore.
I do from, you know, earlier in the day when I can, but.
You might want to not tell your bosses that, right?
I can just
oh,
tell
hey, I read the Globe, too, like, FYI.
I was going to say, you don't think EEI listens to him?
Of course.
You got to monitor what's going on.
I
just
say
keep
no,
tracking
they can't
up.
Get
can you
signal.
Get that in Brighton?
I said that I thought that
laughing
San Diego was better going into
EEI
the game.
EEI only listens to real competition.
Nothing that happened on the field proved me wrong.
Not little bats.
Did I
the
get
hammer and the nail.
But you just miss, Paul, when I hear you, I just miss the sauciness, the well, you know, the sarcastic, you know.
Sometimes there are fights that are, you know,
that's okay.
That are left unfair.
I think that Paul.
I've lost my appetite for confrontation.
Paul does
too.
A better job.
That's what it is.
Paul does a better job of keeping Pete Shepard honest. He doesn't let Pete Shepard get away with some of the other hosts let him get away with. Mm. Right? Am I right?
I try.
You know?
But Felge's right.
So
I
your rallying cry is now I'm smarter than Pete Shepard?
No, it's when.
Not exactly what you should print on the bumper sticker.
Because Pete Shepard actually is the example locally of this national thing. The
good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
The Colts are going to win because it's Peyton's time. Well, Pete Shepard is that local thing. The Patriots are going to win because they have Belichick and Brady. Right. I think
John
it's the same thing.
Against El Duque.
Okay, can I stop you on
that
though?
True, though?
It doesn't. Even though,
can I ask you something?
That's part of talent. That's
Brendan,
part of talent.
Brendan Badea.
Like Felge says, Brady's played subpar games the last couple. You know, two of the last three playoff games,
right.
And I would even contend that the Jets game could have been a subpar game if the Jets caught the ball. Because he threw a couple of key bad throws that could have been game-changing interceptions.
Why
do
all these Patriots opponents drop the ball?
Because they choke, Fred. You have to be mentally tough to beat the most mentally tough team in football.
That's right. Beelzebub.
That's right.
That's talent,
you
Fred.
He goes by
deal
many
with
names.
The devil.
Categorically.
Devil. Yeah.
You too, Fred. It's Lucifer.
Did you hear the one about Beelzebub. Peyton Manning? I got someone sent me an email.
Oh, the one that's in heaven.
That was the devil.
That's been going around.
Marlon McCree never had a chance, that poor bastard.
He doesn't know. Marlon McCree will find out someday.
Let me ask you something, though. Why can't part of your thought process be Peyton Manning's pretty good, eventually he has to break through?
Like, it can be part of it, but
as long as he's not playing the Patriots.
Right. But tell me why. Tell me if you follow that up by saying, you know, whereas in the past it was Rodney Harrison and Ty Law as part of the secondary he was going against, now it's Artrell Hawkins and James Sanders.
Well, that's the real reason I think he's going to have a good day.
That's why this could be his time.
But
I can accept that. That's fine. I can accept that as a legitimate reason.
And I think he's going to have a good day, too. I just think they're going to hold him to field goals inside the 20 and 10-yard line, and it's going to be enough for the Patriots to outscore him.
How about, but you don't think that good, that Dan Marino's the aberration? That usually if you're a really great player, Phil Mickelson, whoever, you know, name a sport, eventually if you're really good, you do win one.
Carl Malone, Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley.
Basketball's different.
Oh, it is, all right. Okay.
Well, football, I think it's even tougher,
it
Mike, because it really is a team sport.
A star could carry
I mean, you
got to
have the guys around.
Yeah, you're right. It's even
you know,
more so.
You know,
that's why it's different.
You can make the case that
it applies even more than
anything. He didn't say how down on everything. He didn't say how it was different. That's he just true. Said it was different.
Can I ask a question, though? You said you don't think much of Dungy. Who's more of a, I don't want to call him a loser, but a non-winner, Dungy or Manning? Who's more of a non? Well, wouldn't you have to say Manning because he didn't do it in college, he didn't do it in high school. It's
but then I watched those. You know that show that you did once that he was
Five Reasons You Can't Blame Peyton Manning.
That they do on ESPN, and they make strong cases a lot of the times. Like the whole thing in college was that he just got Philip Fulmer. Is that his name? Phil.
Yeah.
Got blatantly outcoached by
he's a terrible coach.
Florida
he's a bad
Spurrier
coach.
Every single time, and that Manning was essentially going to the field with an unfair. Disadvantage.
I know,
as
but
a coach.
It's like Marty
that's
Schottenheimer.
An argument.
So look at all the things that have happened to Marty. He can't.
But
it's not his fault that Ernest Biner drops the ball.
But do we fall into
that's one game though?
But it just happened.
Right. Marty, it's 18 games.
Well, that's what
he's
I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
when
you know what?
It's over and over again. He doesn't do enough to overcome those things.
And all Peyton Manning does is lose to Super Bowl champions who nobody else could beat. Too.
Manning is inconsistent.
Do we fall into a trap that
he's
just a loser?
Well, see, he's not a loser because he's had some incredible games.
I think the 20-3 game really hurt him because he just the way he,
the way
that
he
offense
walked
was
off
playing,
the field.
What the Patriots had on defense, the looks
that
he
was
had,
the game that everybody was injured. Remember the secondary was really banged up.
That hurt him bad.
You know, there was
that
no
game.
Ty Law that day. Randall Gay was out there.
But
playing.
I also thought last year too. I remember that last drive, and they're down to wherever Vanderjack ended up kicking it from. I can't remember the yard line, but I think they were there on first or second down, and he had time on the clock, and he threw two deep balls to Harrison down the sidelines when, you know. A smart winning quarterback sort of takes 7 here, 8 there, gets you at least into the 20-yard range, 30-yard range for that field goal, and maybe, who knows, you get a shot at the end zone, and he...
Panic.
He really can't compute that he panicked, but then you've got to say this last game in Baltimore, he did do that.
I was just going to say, if you want to try to
So maybe
contrast,
the switch went on.
You know, and I thought it was, you know, and I know I understand Bill where Bill's coming from, but I think Tom Curran asked him something along those lines this year. Has he done that more this year, taken what the defense has given him, gone underneath, checked down, Bill said no, the offense is the same. But you look at that drive. That was a phenomenal drive.
Absolutely.
That he closed out that Baltimore game with. And I don't think there was more than one throw on. I wasn't there
was
only
running.
One throw. It was, but that Manning wouldn't have done
that.
It was
that throw to Dallas Clark, right?
He wouldn't have done that in the past. Because we all know that he changes a lot of the plays of the line.
Right.
He would have said in the past, if we're going to win, I have to do it.
I think
it.
He
I
has become a more patient quarterback this year.
He took what was given him, and he made the one great throw that he had to make to Dallas Clark.
Even
great
in,
catch,
even
too.
In Kansas City, when they was just checking down to a die. He had like 8 receptions that game. He didn't play well in that game, but he played smart. And he didn't cost his team the game, even though, you know, Ty Law is his kryptonite. What are you going to do?
I do honestly believe the Colts are playing more like Super Bowl champions play than these past few years.
In the 2 playoff games, I would say that's true, but it was just 4 or 5
right.
weeks
you
ago.
No, you're
they
right.
lost to the
you're
Houston
right.
Texans.
You're right. When I say that, I mean these last
Ron
two games.
Dane,
I do mean that.
153 yards.
It's indefensible.
Gary, what do we do? When we go into the press conferences? No, okay. Well, you can get those in their entirety on Patriots.com. At 2 o'clock, are you going to go to those? Or?
Nope.
No, Bill's also
how come you guys aren't out there? Bill's out there in
a
suit. Why aren't you
what's
out there?
What's going on here? Someone die? Why is Bill in the suit?
Because
he's on a national.
You know, we caught him right in the middle of one of the long winning streaks earlier in the season. And, you know,
first
they did an excellent game against us here and certainly deserved to win that game. So we have a lot of respect for them in all 3 phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams. They do everything well.
How do you know?
And they're playing their best football here in the last 2 games.
It's a great thing.
They can score. They can defend.
Let's do an interview here, fellas.
All right. Well.
Hey, sweetie. When I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much.
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5%. Up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Three. Is your mic on there? 3, 2. And we're right back at it here live at Gillette Stadium and the Mike Felger Show, 890 ESPN. Roosevelt Colvin, Patriots linebacker, joining us right now in the bowels of the stadium. And I got to tell you, the last time I was in the bowels of a stadium was I was standing in the hallway at Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego after that game last week, and I thought there was going to be a fight in the hallway. I thought some Chargers players were going to peel back and go after Roosevelt Colvin walking into the Patriots locker room because of the emotion, Rosie, coming out of your voice and the things you were saying going into that locker room. That was as hot and as heated as I've ever seen you anyway. Was that just a release after a game like that against the Chargers?
I think it was. I think I've expressed myself in that fashion or form before. Like I've said on numerous occasions this week, I think we as a team were excited. I definitely was excited. You know, there were situations that occurred, and the result of that was a gratifying victory. And, you know, it is what it is. I don't think there would have been any altercation, anything like that. I think I know some players on their team, and I know how they felt about, you know, the game and their confidence in how they were going to win. So, you know, to go down there and get it done, felt real good.
Do you guys have any regrets over letting that emotion pour out like that at the end of that game?
I don't have any regrets. You know, you try to do things the way you feel is the right way, and, you know, every time it may not be the, you know, as you look back upon it, it may not be the way you would handle it in the future. Would I do it again? Would I celebrate? Would I be excited? Yeah, I sure would. And, you know, it is, like I said, it's done and over. I think the big thing right now is, you know, we have an opportunity to win the AFC and got to focus on that.
I won't spend too much time on it, Rosie, but just so many people talking about it. A few other things. Is it that they are dancers? They are, you know, Merriman has that dance. And when you do something like that, you set yourself up. You know, that's part of your thing. So if you lose doing that thing, you shouldn't be surprised to have someone throw it back in your face. No one on this team has a signature dance that I could remember. I don't know if they have in the 6 years. You know, I've been here every day. I mean, you guys don't do it. So if someone else is going to put that bullseye on their back, don't you think in some way they sort of deserve that?
I wouldn't say they deserve it. I just think it's, you know, something that happens in sports, not just in professional sports, but, you know, high school, college. You know, it's an emotional game.
You ever have a sack dance? You ever have a signature
sack? I've never had a sack. There are specific things that I would do after a sack, but I haven't done them since I've gotten here. I think about them, and we talk about them all the time, but, you know, only had gotten to the quarterback, you know, about 8 times this year, so my opportunities weren't as great as Sean's. You know, we got there 17 times, so he kind of perfected it to a T.
Do you think he does himself a disservice, though? Because it gets guys like you with pride and professionalism who don't do that. It gives you a little extra.
No. The dude made a play. He trying to get his team excited about what's going on out on the field.
But he didn't make a play. He had a hit. He had a hurry, and he did that dance.
Well, everybody's opinion about a situation, as I said earlier in the week, you know, may be different. You know, I may respond differently to reading a media guide than you may respond to it. I may be excited about it. You may be, you know, monotone. So, you know, each and every person is their own person, and I'm a grown man just like he's a grown man, and we are all grown men, and the way we handle ourselves, you know, we're responsible for it, you know, internally.
Last question, I promise. Tomlinson said it comes down from the coach. What
his opinion, point blank.
Did Bill Belichick tell you guys to go out there and mimic Sean Merriman and dance on the Chargers
logo? He didn't tell me, so I don't know what he does in meetings with everybody else, but I didn't get the memo.
I get the feeling he probably doesn't. I don't know. Call me crazy. Troy Brown, Patriots receiver, also joining us here in studio at Gillette Stadium. Hi, Troy.
What's going on?
What's going on with you? How you feeling?
I'm doing all right.
Do we got a little flu thing going around here?
I know I had a little taste of it, so, but I'm all right.
You're doing okay now?
I'll be okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Play of the year, Troy, the strip of Marlon McCree. I mean, one of, I think, your...
We need a lot of plays to get that game won, so it's, I told you in the thing, it's a lot of pieces to the puzzle, some big, some small, and if it's not the right shape, it won't fit, and the puzzle won't be complete, so it takes a lot of different plays that to make that game complete.
See, I love that comment, Rosie, because I think the Chargers are a bunch of big pieces, right? Big, talented guys, big talkers, dancers, great players, but... You know, to win football games, they all got to fit together like Troy's talking about. Maybe you're a little piece, your littler pieces, but you all fit together. I mean, I think that's a great example of it in that game last Sunday. Team.
Yeah, so that's what it takes. You know, and I think everybody has a good understanding of their role. And, you know, and sometimes you got to make some things happen in crucial situations and whatever it may be. It may seem like a small thing to some people, but, you know, getting a block here or there or, you know, getting a chip, you know, for setting one of your defensive linemen free or something to the quarterback. I mean, those types of things are all small things that go unnoticed. But, you know, when you look at it on tape, you have a great appreciation for your teammates when you see them doing a lot of those things on tape.
Troy, walk us through that play real quick. What did you see? You weren't the intended receiver, were you? Or were
no,
you?
I wasn't the intended receiver, but I saw Tom throw the ball, and all I saw was McCree coming through there saw him catch the ball and bobble it a little bit and then kind of put it down in his hands and was running with it. And he saw me and tried to cut back inside. And my first thought was just, you know, secure the tackle and try to get the ball at the same time. And then I saw one of the linemen coming to block me. And I just raked on it as hard as I could, and it came out. And, you know, Riche was right there to fall on it. And, you know, we got ourselves a first down and put ourselves in position to, you know, tie the game up.
Well, let me ask both you, defensive players, Troy. Obviously, some time on defense. Do you think you would have had the awareness to know that it was fourth down and a batted down ball would have done the same thing? Or once you intercept it, to take a knee and just get down again because it's a fourth down? Well, it wouldn't have mattered after the interception, but, you know, you could have deflected it, gotten the ball where you needed to get it, or just taken the knee and gotten the ball back. Can you blame Marlon McCree, Rosie, for trying to take it back the other way? Or do you think you would have known? I get the sense you guys would have known what to do.
I don't necessarily know what his intentions were. I think as a defensive player, you don't get your hands on many balls. You have an opportunity to make a play. It's not like they were in a Hail Mary situation. I mean, it was sort of similar, but, you know, you bat the ball down. Does it end the game, or do they get the ball back? Yeah. But I think he's just trying to make a play, and unfortunately, fortunately for us, Troy was trying to do the same thing, and the ball came out. So you can't fault the guy for getting the interception.
His defense, when I saw it on tape, I could kind of see what he saw because I was the only person standing in his way in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a running start on the ball, and that would have iced the game right there. It would have been no ifs or buts. I mean, we had a chance to get the ball back. It was 6 minutes to go, I believe, in the game. So we got a chance to get the ball back and possibly go into the two-minute mode and make some things happen. So yeah, I could kind of see what he saw when I saw the big picture of the play.
And it was a wide open path to the end zone, but then I guess he saw me standing there and had to cut back inside.
Yeah, call me crazy. Got the ball, so. I think you guys would have gotten down. I think you would have gotten down and that would have been your ball because that's, I don't know. I've just seen you guys do it too often, do the right thing in the right situation. So just tell me what was, when Tom Brady got back to the huddle there, what did he say? What was the look in his eye? You know, because he went on and made a bunch of plays after that now.
Well, it was just, you know, just relief that we got the ball back and we had another chance to, you know, make a scoring drive on a short field, you know, and it's like having a turnover, basically. You know, it was back-to-back turnovers, and when they got one, and we got one right back, and we had the short field again, and it was like, you know, rejuvenated life there again. And we had a short field to go in 5.5 minutes to tie the game up, and he got it back on a hot streak there, and he shook that off pretty fast. And, you know, and that's, you know, what a lot of these – all these players and the teammate and all these players and teams in the playoffs now have a lot of players like that. They can shake off the bad plays and keep moving on. You know, and that's what it's all about this time of year.
Okay, let's look ahead. It was a great win. Great win, guys. Well, Rosie, there's one more play I got to ask you about, your interception. That was terrific play. You know what? The game, the one where Vince Wilfork had his return, was that the Jets game?
Yeah.
It all mushes together. Mm-hmm. So you made up for it with that one.
Yeah, definitely. You know, they hit us on a couple of screens early in the game. One went for like 60 or 70 yards down to the goal line. And, you know, he's an elusive guy. They probably figured that we were going to be aggressive as we rushed, and he slipped by me a couple times. So then, you know, the situation came up again. I wasn't necessarily in coverage. I was rushing, but he slipped out to my side and sort of, you know, went with him. And Phillip Rivers probably felt like he could dump the ball over my head again. Mm-hmm. And fortunately enough for me, I just kept going, drifted a little bit, and tipped it to myself.
It's a great play. Great win again. Okay. This week, first, just let me ask you, how excited are you to be right here, right now, for this game? And this ain't far from your first rodeo. Obviously, you've been in this spot a lot now over your career, but does it get any less? Is it easier for you to be here this week? Is it just another week? Or, you know, do you see the NFL Network here, press conferences and the national media? And is it, I don't know,
you never get tired of winning. You know, that's why we start the season, is to put ourselves in a position to play for championships. You know, we won the division championship. Now we're going for the conference championship. And, you know, if everything works out this weekend, you know, then that's the big dance, you know. And that's why you start the season. So, I mean, you're always happy and thrilled to be at this point. But we all know if you don't complete the ultimate goal, it's still a disappointing season, whether you finish the regular season at home or you finish somewhere in the playoffs at home. Or if you come up short of that big game, it's always disappointing. So,
yeah. You excited, Rosie?
Definitely excited. You know, great opportunity of a lifetime. Biggest game of my career, you know, this year. And, you know, I played in big games, and, you know, you got to move forward and get yourself ready. We're waking up at 4:30 every day this week. So
why is that?
Just like I said, you're excited. Things are running through your mind.
You can't
you're ready.
Sleep.
Not necessarily can't sleep, but just, you know, I think you are sort of getting a grasp of what's in front of you. And for me, I am excited not just to play in the game, but to get to go home, play in front of friends and family, and hopefully get the chance to go to another Super Bowl.
Well, let me tell people, you used to work in the RCA Dome, did you not? What did you do?
I used to make the cotton candy and smoke cones, and
that's unbelievable.
It was a big event for me.
Did you make it, or did you actually go in the stands?
I made it. I was there. We didn't go around with the thingies, the little handheld things. I made the candy, the cotton candy, put it in the bags, and we sold it from the concession.
He's just found the Patriots, you know.
How does one make cotton candy?
You just use sugar, flavored sugar, into a heated kind of jet engine looking thing, and you pour it in, you heat it up, you spin it, it turns the fan on, and as it melts the sugar, it spits out in strings, and the strings add up to clumps.
So you grew up in Indianapolis?
Yeah, grew up.
How old were you in 84 when they came in?
84, I was 7 years old. So I was there for a lot of the big, you know, games that they've had, all the players that have been through there, and was a Colts fan growing up, and didn't stop until I got drafted to Chicago.
It's interesting. Let's break down some of the matches here. Coming up next on 890 ESPN, Troy Brown, Roosevelt Colvin. We're coming right back on 890 in 3, 2, and we're back here at Gillette Stadium, 890 ESPN and the Mike Felger Show. All right, let's look at the Colts real quick here, guys. Roosevelt, last time I thought when you played Peyton Manning, you did a pretty good job of getting him off his spot. That's a big thing you hear about Peyton Manning. Don't let him set his feet. Make him move a little bit. You did, and the son of a gun still made plays.
Yeah, well, you know, it takes 11 guys on the field. You know, if I go out there and line up by myself, or another guy goes out and lines up by himself, then they, you know, he's going to pick you apart. So, I think across the board, everybody's got to be prepared to do their job. And, you know, once you do your job, second effort and hustle can, you know, make up for, you know, another guy's possible mistake. But, you know, they'll take advantage of you as a defense, and we got to definitely be on our toes.
Do you think you guys were as physical against them the last couple of times out here in the regular season as you were in those great playoff games?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, situations where they make plays and we don't, or we make plays and we don't, you know, it all boils down to execution. That's what happened in San Diego. We executed at the time we needed it to against the Jets all season long. When you win games, you execute better than the opposing team, and that's what it's going to come down to in the championship game.
It just seemed to me, Rosie, that in those playoff games, I remember press coverage really mauling those guys off the line, their tight ends, their receivers, and in these regular season games, Samuel was 12 yards off. I mean, these guys were off the line. It seems like you all were a little, you know, not as much Chuck conscious there. And was that the rules?
No, I think just, you know, specific defenses that we were in, you know, coordinated to them being in positions that they were in. And, you know, these guys get paid, too. They have coaches just like we do. It's not that we're just going out there playing against a ragtag bunch that, you know, just wants to line up and play football against a group of guys. You know, they scout us. They see what we do. So, you know, they're going to, you know, move the ball, get first downs. And just, it's up to us as a defense to try to make it as hard as possible for them.
How much of Peyton Manning's pre-snap talking do you think is real, and how much is crap?
Couldn't tell you. Never played on their offense. Maybe we ask Klecko after the game. I just, you know, I can't really pay attention to it because they're good enough that if you're sitting there trying to figure out what he's saying and you try to guess, it change it up the next series and it'd be something different. So I think the big thing is just go out and play.
Yeah, well, they don't even do that much, Rosie, right? I mean, isn't Marvin's always offensive right, Wayne's offensive left? Do they do a lot of motioning even?
No, they're usually balanced in their formations, yeah, and the things that the way they line up. But, you know, they're pretty good at that, and I think that's why they just remain the way they are. They don't need to change. If you can't, you know, can't necessarily get to them or beat them, then, you know, there's no reason for them to do anything different.
It's Roosevelt Colvin, Troy Brown here on 890 and Patriots Friday. Troy, what's been the difference with this Colts defense here these last two playoff games as opposed to through the regular season? Seems like they're different defense.
They've been stuffing everything coming their way lately. You know, it's been hard to throw, hard to run on them, and they've been played exceptionally well on third down, and they've given up, what, 3 for 22 on third downs in two playoff games, which is pretty unheard of. And you know, they're the hottest thing going right now defensively, and they stepped up. And I mean, the offensive seemed to fallen back a little bit, but the defense has stepped up and picked up the slack, and they're just playing tremendous football right now.
A lot of people talk to the return of Bob Sanders. What kind of catalyst is he to that defense?
He's a little fireball back there, man, and he's not the biggest person in the world, but you know, when he hits you, it feels like he's a huge safety back there. But he's a force in the running game. He's a force when you're catching the ball over the middle. He's going to make you pay for doing that. And he just comes up and feels really hard in the running game. And it's tough to make yards when you got a guy back there playing like that.
What did you see from the offenses that they've played here in the postseason, Troy? It seems like Baltimore, Kansas City seemed pretty vanilla. When they were running the ball, everyone knew they were running the ball. Whereas some of your success in the past against the Colts have been running out of spread stuff. You know, you've had a lot of success against this defense with spread formations.
Well, you've seen some of those teams, Baltimore, those guys, they tried to spread them out. They tried to, you know, the two tights and, you know, the double tight ends and the split receivers, and they tried several different things, and they all didn't work. I mean, I think it's more about the way they've been playing in Indy than anything else. I mean, you look at a team like, you know, Kansas City, who's been known for, you know, being able to move the ball and throw the ball around a little bit, and, you know, Baltimore didn't have a bad season, you know, moving the ball either. I mean, they did pretty decent this year on offense themselves, and they couldn't get anything going. And, you know, so I think it's more just about the way the Colts have been playing in this postseason, and they've been playing extremely well, and it's tough. And, I mean, you look at them on tape, and it's tough to get a yard out of them.
Let me ask you guys this. I asked Matt Light earlier the same question. What do you guys think of Peyton Manning, the guy? I don't know. When you turn on, not that you've had dinner with him, or maybe you have, but I'm talking about when you turn on the TV, you're watching a game, the guy's freaking everywhere. Every second commercial is Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning. Does that rub some guys the wrong way, do you think?
I wish it was me sometimes.
Well, I mean, Troy, I mean,
he brings a lot of money.
Troy Brown is no stranger to commercials. I mean, it's true, but Peyton Manning. Troy's taking it to, I mean, Manning's taking it to the next level.
That's a pretty good second job he has there.
I don't know the guy personally, so, you know, seems like he does everything he can to, to put his team in position to win. Off the field, you know, you have to ask Klecko. Let's just ask Klecko.
But so guys don't look at that and go, here's Mr. Commercial again.
Man, I just,
I wonder how much you got for this one.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many of them. I just go do something else until the program that I was watching comes back on.
All right, how do you guys manage your emotions? We'll wrap it up with this. I think this team has gotten very good at, you say you're excited, Rosie, getting up at 4:30, but I'm looking at you here and I'm seeing you sit here. You're not bouncing off the walls now. You seem like pretty composed and mellow, and I think you guys are good at, pacing your emotions to not blow it right now.
Just got out of practice, so, all the energy and all the excitement that I had this morning, I didn't get up at 4:30 this morning, but, all that is, pretty much drained. So I think, you just try to handle it the best way you can. And situation is I'm just doing an interview, so I'm
so you're not excited to be here.
I'm just
understand.
Hanging out.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm just
I
hanging
get it.
Out.
Well, let me ask you, in the Charger game, you guys came out of the locker room late. It just because they announced you a couple times at the stadium. I don't know if you knew this. They announced you a couple times at the stadium, and you didn't come out. And then they announced the Chargers players, and you guys walked out when the Chargers were being introduced.
Didn't know anything about that.
They came in. I know we had a delay in the locker room.
Yeah, they told us.
The game was starting 5 or 10 minutes later.
5 or 10 minutes later.
I don't know.
Had nothing to do with that.
I had no idea they called us out a few times.
Well, you know what I think it is. Call me crazy. But you guys have been to so many Super Bowls, and Bill knows that the length of time between the pregame warm-ups and the Super Bowl and the kickoff is so long. It's not like a normal game. It's like you've got to totally manage how up you get before that game because the gaps are so long between the warm-up and the game and the national anthem. It's all part of a managing it. And I thought that's what he was doing there, not bring you out to the field too early because the game was delayed. He doesn't want you standing on the field for half an hour before the ball's kicked off.
I don't think so.
No?
We were just told to sit around and chill out that the game's starting 5 minutes late, so I don't think anybody was really worried about it.
You come out and you get ready.
Yeah.
I didn't hear them calling us out. I mean, we're inside if they were calling us. Who knows?
All right, you guys going to win this week?
We hope so.
Yeah, we do our best.
Yep.
Thanks, guys. Good luck. We'll all be watching. You win. We'll see you next Friday. You win.